Online spending on Black Friday may be a good omen for sales today.
For the first time, online spending topped $1 billion on Black Friday.
ComScore projects Cyber Monday sales will ring up to the tune of $1.5 billion, up 20% from last year. A coalition of business groups wants to get their message across that lawmakers need to compromise to avoid the fiscal cliff. Yet the home builders industry says it won't tolerate tampering with the mortgage interest deduction. AARP opposes cuts to Medicare and Social Security. Climate change is the focus as representatives from nearly 200 nations are meeting in oil and gas rich Qatar. A major problem is how to spread the burden between rich and poor countries. This is NBC News Radio. Bounce houses may be the hit at a lot of kids' parties, but research in the journal Pediatrics finds that as their popularity has grown, so have the number of injuries associated with them. Many injuries are similar to those from trampolines. New technology is taking away the jobs of some of our friends at sea.
The Navy has used the dolphins to detect underwater mines. The San Diego Dolphin Training Center will be shut down by 2017, but the 24 mine-hunting dolphins, 50 additional dolphins, and 30 dive and search sea lions will live out their lives under Navy care. Dolphins are being replaced by underwater robot vehicles that cost less, can travel farther, and don't have to be fed. Dan Scanlon, NBC News Radio.
If buying the items in the 12 Days of Christmas song seems like a good idea, better have a little more than $107,000 in hand. The price has jumped by more than 6% since last year. The partridge, still a bargain, and the cheapest out of the 12 at $15. I'm Barbara Cusack, NBC News Radio.
Staples Copy and Print knows you need to promote your business.
Outdoor banners.
Detailing your one-of-a-kind product offering.
Trifold, full-color, double-sided brochures.
As you grow your business.
Business cards, postcards, car magnets.
And your customer base.
Design services, presentations, shipping.
So you go to the one place that has it all and prints it right.
Staples.
And right now, get 50% off photo cards and invitations. No coupon needed. Limited time only. Details in-store and at staples.com. Staples. That was easy.
Nelman, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Oh, no. Are you sick too, sir?
Nelman, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from Accountemps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes. What's that?
On second thought, Bob from Accountemps could handle payroll, too.
Bob.
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
Apple is adopting the kitchen sink strategy in its ongoing patent fight with Samsung. Reports say it is adding six additional Samsung devices to its lawsuits seeking U.S. sales injunctions. They include the Galaxy Note 2 and the Galaxy S3. There may be no such thing as Hostess Twinkies anymore, but there still likely will be Twinkies. And the guessing game is on to figure out just who is likely to buy some or all of the properties formerly known as Hostess. Wall Street Journal reports Flowers Foods is emerging as a front runner. Among Flowers' many brands is Tasty Cake. The report says although the company has made no public comment about whether it wants Hostess, it has been negotiating lending terms to tap some additional cash. Hope for, finally, a resolution to Greece's part of the European debt crisis is giving some lift to European stocks. Not seeing much lift stateside, though. S&P futures falling 6 points. NASDAQ futures down 8. Dow futures losing 46. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
How would you like to try a sales-generating tool for your business that is so good at locating qualified leads it's been called best of the breed? If your business thrives on selling to other businesses, then get ready for a toll-free number and a free trial offer that could literally revolutionize your sales. Hoovers, a D&B company, has developed a powerful tool to connect you to qualified buyers for your product or service that is fast and easy. No more wasting time getting leads manually. No more pre-configured lists of names that don't fit your business. Hoover's advanced targeting technology helps you reach the market that will be most receptive to your product or service. For a limited time, Hoover's would like to offer their radio listeners 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial.
Just call 800-239-0011. That's a free trial and 50 free leads. Call now. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. Again, 800-239-0011.
Hi, I'm Dave.
Hi, Dave.
And I've got no idea what makes a website successful.
Oh,
believe me, I've tried.
Lucky for Dave, there's Web.com. Web.com will build his website and yours for free. You heard right. You can do what over 3 million small businesses have already done. Team with the experts at Web.com to get a website built for free. Plus, you'll get 30 days to experience our comprehensive hosting, support, maintenance, and marketing on Google, Yahoo, Bing, and hundreds of other locations absolutely risk-free. For more information on getting your website built for free, call Web.com today.
Wow, thanks. I feel much better.
You can make that call.
Call Web.com today at 855-288-2631. That's 855-288-2631. Or visit Web.com.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Our country is divided. With fault lines on every issue and constantly shifting blame, America has been held in deadlock. With confidence in our elected officials quickly waning, where can you turn when you want real progress? There is a place for insight, answers, and community in this divisive society. There is a place for you, a place for your sanity. Welcome to your first shift with Tony Trupiano.
And good morning, everybody. It is Monday, the 26th day of November, 2012, and oh, yes, happy holidays to each and every one of you. I would hope and pray that you all had a lovely Thanksgiving holiday. Curious how many of you took advantage of Black Friday or Local Business Saturday or today being Cyber Monday. That is our first shift Facebook poll question of the day. Lots of deals out there. I even took advantage of one of them. Why not? When they're practically throwing goods at you for radically reduced prices, why wouldn't you take advantage of that? And apparently, if you look at the news stories that are out there this morning, it looks like we're on a pace for a record Christmas shopping season. Yep, they can already tell that after a couple days. Go figure. I don't know how those numbers change. I don't know if it's anything like political polling. Don't pay much attention to it. Just for what it's worth. Anyway, it's great to be back. I thoroughly took advantage of my 4 days off and feeling a little guilty about it today. I literally made the decision to work as little as possible. And for anybody that knows me, well, you know, that wasn't the easiest decision in the world for me to make, but it was what I needed to do. I certainly got some rest. The dog actually let me sleep 3 of the 4 days, so I'll take that as well. So all things considered, we're off to a hearty holiday season, and we've got an interesting show prepared for you today. Many of you are aware that there were protests in 1,000 of the 3,000 Walmart stores around the country this weekend, one in Dearborn, in fact. We'll talk to Cynthia Murray, who is a Walmart associate out of state, and talk about what's happening there. Richard Mack, attorney with Miller Cohen and AFSCME, will join us to talk about the deal that the city council turned down with regard to a law firm contract and what the repercussions of that are, and they seem to be very serious. This is a story that is still unfolding as Mayor Dave Bing has asked the city council, and apparently they have agreed to come back today in an emergency session as they are supposedly off until after the first of the year. That's kind of odd, being all that they have on their plate. All right, we'll get to that. Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, joins us at just after 8 o'clock, as he does every Monday. A lot on his plate. We'll talk with Chris Savage from Eclectablog in our blog roll segment today. The question is, what happens to Organizing for America now that the president is done running for office? Is there a future for OFA? We'll get to that. Samuel Bergson will join us. He is a marketing director with Cause Static Productions. Some music. We had done a segment last week on music and messaging. We continue that in today's program. And then last but not least, we're going to begin a short series on our health. Jonathan Fleece will join us, the co-author of The New Health Age. And we'll kind of give you an overview of what we're going to be doing moving forward and see if we can get our health under control a little bit. Now that the election's over, we can expand our universe. With all that said, let's get this going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Our first word today is opportunity. I think that our schedule today talks a little bit about opportunity. Opportunity to be honest, opportunity to advance, opportunity to educate, opportunity to take personal responsibility. You know, opportunity oftentimes, folks, is something that's laid at our feet, and we sometimes just step over it. Other times we pick up the stick and run with it. Other times, well, we're not quite sure what to do. But opportunity presents itself really more regularly than perhaps we realize. Every time we ask you to get involved in something, that's an opportunity to what? To make a difference, to make a statement, to do something profound. Now, it doesn't always work out the way we necessarily envision things to work out, but that doesn't mean that opportunity isn't setting up a foundation to something else. I often wonder how many people have thought, if I'd only done blank, I wish I would have done this differently. Well, the bottom line is many of us have done that. Is it as simple as just recognizing an opportunity when it presents yourself or seeing everything as an opportunity? Well, I'm on the latter of the two. I think everything is an opportunity. I think everything builds to something else. I remember years ago reading a book by Dr. Wayne Dyer where he had written, "We are the sum total of everything we've done to this moment." Think about the gravity of that. We are the sum total of everything we've done to this moment. That encompasses a great many opportunities. So let's try to be a little more aware of what is happening around us, what is being presented to us. And you may just find that the opportunity that you've been waiting for was there all along. You just weren't recognizing it as opportunities. That's okay. Training yourself, if you will, to experience life as nothing but a series of opportunities takes time, but it is well worth the effort. Sometimes, well, it takes a little longer to get to where we're going. That's okay. Shortcuts aren't always the answer, are they? Well, let this little spiel this morning be an opportunity for you to open your eyes, open your hearts, and open up yourself to opportunity. And today's first word is opportunity.
Lions.
Stafford takes, looks, throws deep middle. Got a man out there. It's Calvin at the five. Makes the catch.
Tigers.
Monroe edges off of second. The 1-0. Swinging a fly ball. Wow. Left field. It's deep. It's way back. The Tigers are going to the World Series.
Red Wings.
And they crush Red Wings. For the first time in 11 years are the Stanley Cup champions.
And Pistons.
The Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
The First Shift crew gives you some Detroit sports knowledge to drop next time you're at the water cooler.
And we welcome everybody back. It's time to take a look at sports. A very busy weekend going back to Thursday, but let us say good morning to Anthony, and good morning to you, Anthony.
Oh, good morning. How's it going?
Okay. I enjoyed the four-day weekend. I'm assuming you did as well.
Yeah, it was a good time. I did a lot of relaxing.
Good. I loved your apartment, by the way. It was great to come by on Saturday with your mother and see your new place. It is beautiful. Yes, I am jealous.
That's good. How about the steak?
The steak?
The steakhouse.
No, well, expensive, but good.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
You know, it was good. I enjoyed it. Yeah, so it was good to go out to dinner. And again, had I known we were going to be at the casino, well, I would have bought some cash. We would have done a little casino. Anyway, let's take a look at sports. And I guess we have to go back to Thursday. We have to do it, as painful as it is. Anthony, the Lions lose to a very good Houston team, but we should have, could have, and didn't win that game.
Yeah, same story again this week. I mean, all I can say is at least we're competing with these great teams, but it'd be nice to win these games. And, you know, at this point, I'm just out there. If they win, they win. If they lose, they lose. I just hope they finish the season healthy and they have like the best outcome as possible, I guess, now.
Well, unfortunately, and you know what's going to happen, and people are going to say, well, now they're, you know, playing for a draft pick. And I hate when we, because we've done that for so many years in this town. Playoffs are pretty much out of the realm of possibility now, right?
Yeah, we're done.
So what do you expect to happen, you know, for the rest of the season? What's the goal? If you can't make the playoffs, I realize winning is still important, but what's the goal here?
Win out. I mean, that's what I mean, as bad as they've been, I mean, I still would like to see them win out. What are you, 4-8 now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, an 8-8 record would be solid.
Okay, well, it was tough. Jason Hansen missing what looked like it was a sure thing, but it wasn't a sure thing. There are no sure things anymore in anything. So we, I don't know, we just have to learn to deal with it. If you didn't notice, I wasn't emotionally attaching myself to the game on Thursday. I casually watched here and there. I just didn't want it to, ruin my day. And unfortunately, it ended up ruining it anyway. I really thought we were going to win that game.
Yeah, I really did too. It seemed like we were going to pull through. It seemed like the whole game we were just one step ahead of them. And then I remember that third and goal that we had inside the 10, and we settled for the field goal, and they ended up coming back down and taking the lead back. And from there on out, anything could happen in overtime, and they prevailed.
Yep, they did prevail. Well, we know one thing for sure. They have to spend some resources on defense, especially defensive backfield, in the offseason. They have to. There's not a choice. We didn't embarrass ourselves on national television. I'll say that. It's not like we played horribly. We just didn't win. So, okay. Let's take a quick break here. Michigan State played over the weekend. I'm not sure what the Pistons did, but I'm hoping Anthony will know when we come back. But we do have to get to a break. If you'd like to join us, feel free, 888-552-3595. We've got lots of other things to get to once we finish up with our sports segment, and we'll do that. A little conversation, folks. It's what we do here at First Shift. Now that the election is over, I guess we can, not let our guard down, but certainly relax a little bit, maybe lighten the load. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back as the holiday season begins here on First Shift. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trio.
My point is to Republican adults. When 14-year-old boys sound exactly like you do, maybe you should rethink the shit that's coming out of your mouth.
On 1310 WDTW.
No wonder 14-year-old boys can do your act. You act exactly like 14-year-old boys.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Comcast Business Class.
You still have an accident-free commute just watching that water main break, so use some caution on Middle Belt Road just north of 94. Left lane is going to be closed starting at 9 a.m. on 75 northbound just before 8 mile. Left lane is also going to be closed at 9 on 75 southbound between 7 mile and McNichols. And Van Dyke southbound between Harper and Palmer, utility work will block the left lane, and that starts at 9 a.m. today. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Business can't wait for internet, voice, and TV solutions from Comcast Business Class. It's a new breed of speed. To learn more, call 800-501-6000 or visit business.comcast.com today.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy and 38. Tonight, a low of 23. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 35. And it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
And welcome back. It is 22 minutes after 6 o'clock. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Happy holidays to each and every one of you as we continue on with our check-in on sports with Anthony this morning. Michigan and Michigan State both played on Saturday, Anthony. Michigan and Ohio State, I guess for the first half, we had a pretty good game going.
I mean, if you like defense, the second half was pretty good too, but I really have a problem with the way they used Denard Robinson in the game. In the first half, it was working for them doing that, shotgun with two running backs with them in the backfield, and they were just basically power running the football with him. But in the second half, they tried using the same situation. That wasn't working, and it was basically just him or Gardner out there at the same time. There was no dual threat of having Denard at running back and having him line up in a single back and giving him the ball. He was on the field as quarterback, or he was just off the field. And I don't like how they did that.
Well, you know, in the second half, they went very long periods of time without utilizing Denard Robinson at all. Even if you use him as a decoy, it would have worked. Even if he doesn't factor into the play, but when he's not on the field, it makes a difference.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I don't see, like, that's, even if he's a decoy, I mean, he's out there, get the ball in his hand. I mean, the guy's the fastest player on the field, and that showed in that big run he had in the first half where he just made the Ohio State defense look pretty stupid.
Well, unfortunately, they don't win. It doesn't matter. They're going to go to a bowl game. Looks like it'll be a New Year's Day bowl game. It's not like they had an embarrassing season, which takes me to Michigan State. I guess we should back up just a moment. Kind of lost in all this is Ohio State had an undefeated season, Anthony.
Yeah, they did. And it's crazy to think how that would have mixed up the BCS this year.
Well, they were saying during the game that if they were to factor in, they would have been number three in the country. Don't quite know how they get number three out of that. But anyway, that's what they were saying. But certainly would have been they would have been up for the national championship. I would think you can't go undefeated. And you got to give Urban Meyer some credit for pulling together a team that's been in disarray. Anyway, let's go on to Michigan State, Minnesota. Michigan State, Anthony, does win that game, does make them bowl eligible, but it almost has to be like getting a consolation prize at this point.
Yeah, I was just talking to my buddy Willie yesterday because he's a big State fan, and I was like, do you guys even want to play in, like, what are they going to get, the Little Caesars Pizza Bowl at Ford Field? I mean, you get a bowl game like that, you play the MAC champion, And then you got to go in, you play a pumped up Mag Champ, and then you go in there and you're kind of, it's kind of like a consolation game, like you said. And, you know, there's just setting you up for an upset right there.
Well, I, you know, don't really know what happened to them this season, except that they just didn't have the offensive firepower to make it work. And I'm being more specific to Maxwell, the quarterback. How they correct that in the offseason, I guess, is something that Mark D'Antonio has to deal with himself. But, you know, it shouldn't go unmentioned. They didn't sell out a single game, a single home game this year. I find that absolutely fascinating. I think they seat 70,000 at Michigan State, whatever they call their place. That's a lot of seats, but it's certainly not Michigan a lot of seats. And when you can't sell out the student section of your stadium after having a pretty damned good year last year, I guess it says something about apathy, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure they set a record for season ticket sales this year too, which I think is weird that they couldn't sell out any of their home games.
Yeah, it is what it is, but that one's gone. Anyway, any chance you can give me an update on what the Pistons did?
They played during the afternoon yesterday against the Knicks, and they got killed. They lost by about 20.
Did you notice, and I didn't realize that he was back, but Rasheed Wallace is playing for the Knicks now, and I didn't realize that.
Yep. In his first game back, yeah, he took one of those wide-open Sheed threes that you always pull your hair out, but then when he hits it, you're like, all right, well, maybe he could shoot that shot again.
And last but not least, I don't know if you saw, but during the Miami-Seattle game in Miami, the sprinklers went off during the second quarter, and they actually had to stop the game to turn the sprinklers off.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, in fact, I'm watching it on the television now. But yeah, they did one of their news breaks during. I was watching the Chicago Minnesota game yesterday, which ended up being embarrassing for Minnesota. I really thought they were going to play better than they did. But anyway, they did a news break during that game, and they showed the sprinklers going off, and they had to wait for somebody to turn the sprinklers off. They were going off all over the field. I mean, it looked like it was raining on a perfectly beautiful Miami afternoon. So that was kind of funny. So anyway, that's that. That's it for sports for today. Hopefully, I don't know, hopefully we just move on, because the bottom line is the Lions are out of the playoff picture. Those of us that are fans will, of course, sit and watch and hope and pray and see what happens as we work our way towards the end of the year. There are only four games left in the season, and it is what it is. It's another disappointing year for Lions fans, no question about that. All right, anyway, looking forward. I think we do need to have a little conversation about what we can expect looking forward. We're going to spend some of our time in the next few months, really paying attention to health issues. We're going to take a much more in-depth look at the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, and what it means. I had said on the show a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, and I truly mean it, once 2014 gets here and Obamacare in its larger context becomes a part of our everyday lives, I really believe it's going to be one of those things where most people say to themselves, how did we ever get by without this? And I really do believe that. The idea that we wouldn't be behind covering as many Americans as we possibly can, keeping in mind we are the only industrialized country in the world that does not have universal health care, and we still don't have universal health care. This is a step in the right direction. Will we ever have the courage to do health care for all? I don't know the answer to that question. I'm going to guess, based on our history and our partisanship, that the answer to that is most likely no. But there are some that said that we wouldn't get the Affordable Care Act in the form that we got it. So maybe there is hope for the future. As we take a look post-election at Republicans and Republicanism and what that means, because I think it's going to be a moving target for quite a while. We're going to get to some audio on the other side of the break where there are quite a few Republicans that are now moving away from the Grover Norquist pledge of no new taxes. And at what level does it matter at this point? Has Grover Norquist become irrelevant? Well, I don't know that many of you understand the critical nature of what he demanded of our lawmakers. Even sillier yet, and I mean that silly, is that sadly, there were too many Republicans that were afraid of Grover Norquist. Now do they begin to understand that when you sign a pledge for one person, keep in mind this was one person, Grover Norquist, is it the right thing to do? We know the answer. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to all of that. And, of course, your calls, 888-552-3595, Tony at thetonyshow.org. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Happy holidays. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
You still have an accident-free commute just watching that water main break, so use some caution on Middle Belt Road just north of 94. Left lane is going to be closed starting at 9 a.m. on 75 northbound just before 8 mile. Left lane is also going to be closed at 9 on 75 southbound between 7 mile and McNichols. And Van Dyke southbound between Harper and Palmer, utility work will block the left lane, and that starts at 9 a.m. today. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Drive through McDonald's today, and when you pick up $10 worth of McDonald's Arch Cards for anyone on your holiday list, you'll enjoy a free medium McCafe drink for yourself. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy and 38. Tonight, a low of 23. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 35. And it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
The sky is falling. The end times are upon us. It's all over for America, and it's all because of you. You, the execrable voters. This is the wretched wail of a few corporate chieftains who claim to be somewhere between flummoxed and furious that Barack Obama is back in the White House. With his diabolical Obamacare and tax-the-rich attacks on us wealthy job creators, they moan, this president is out to destroy American business. There's a tsunami coming, cried one, so we must save ourselves. How do these trembling titans of free enterprise intend to do that? By firing employees, thus sending a message to workers that voting for Democrats is bad for their health. Elections have consequences, exclaimed a Las Vegas boss after offing 22 workers the day after Obama was reelected. Echoing this self-serving political ethic, a Georgia executive told C-SPAN that his fear of Obamacare made him fire enough workers to exempt his business from providing health care. I tried to make sure that the people I had to lay off voted for Obama, he noted, spewing spite. Then there's Papa John's, the billion-dollar-a-year fast food chain. John Schnatter, the present papa of Papa John's, had warned this summer that he'd jack up the consumer price of the chain's pizza if Obama won, because he was not going to eat the cost of assuring health coverage for employees. Post-election, however, Schnatter has decided not to slap his customers, but to slap Papa John's workers instead, by cutting their hours to part-time so he doesn't have to pay for their coverage. That's what you do, Schnatter snapped. You pass on costs. This is Jim Hightower saying, that's what you do, and what an exemplary way for the millionaire boss to boost productivity, loyalty, and morale of those who do the actual work that make customers want to buy Papa John's pizza, or not.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice. What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Cyber Monday. Although I understand you could have cybered it out any day this weekend and you would have got the deals, and there are lots of deals out there. Our First Shift Facebook question of the day is, have you taken advantage or will you be taking advantage of the deals that are out there? I don't, listen, I'm not a big shopper, so I don't know what the repercussions of all this are, but I do know that there are some pretty fantastic deals out there. We're going to talk about a little later on, and not much later on in the show, we're going to be talking about Walmart, and with lots of weird stories coming out of the weekend with regard to Walmart, including one that is international in scope. One of the warehouses where they make clothes for Walmart in India burned to the ground over the weekend. But, you know, that's not necessarily Walmart's fault. I'm just sharing that story. What may be Walmart's fault is another story coming out of Georgia where a man was trying to steal two DVD players. He was apparently tackled by two employees at a Walmart in Georgia and a security guard. And at this point, they're saying he was beat to death. That's right. The security guard has been fired. The two employees are suspended without pay, and they are investigating that. There always seems to be a Walmart tragedy every holiday season. Go figure that one. As I said before the break, the Republicans are beginning to waver on the Grover Norquist tax pledge. And the reason that they're doing that is something we call reality. Not that this reality wasn't around a year ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago. It was. But apparently the Republicans just need to be bitch slapped nonstop in national elections before they realize, you know, that old definition of insanity, if you keep on doing the same thing but expect a different result. Well, apparently they did expect a different result each and every year. First, it was John McCain shellacking by Barack Obama. Then it was a decidedly handy defeat of Mitt Romney by Barack Obama. And you begin to ask yourself the question, what don't the Republicans get? Maybe the shorter answer or question would be, what do they get? I don't know. The bottom line is, as we listen to this from ABC News, the tax pledge is now being rejected by some Republicans.
With some of his holiday shopping done, President Obama may be getting a gift from some Republicans. Republicans who signed a pledge never to raise taxes. This morning on ABC, a leading senator.
I will violate the pledge, long story short, for the good of the country, only if Democrats will do entitlement reform.
And Senator Saxby Chambliss also says he won't necessarily abide by the pledge. Support from a vocal Republican House member, too.
I agree entirely with Saxby Chambliss. A pledge you signed 20 years ago, 18 years ago, is for that Congress. The world has changed, and the economic situation is different.
They are talking about this man's pledge, Americans for Tax Reform President Grover Norquist, who has gotten hundreds of Republicans to sign.
Do you feel like you and your pledge are under assault?
No. What the pledge does, of course, is allows elected officials to make it clear openly to their voters where they stand. Are they going to be with reforming government or raising taxes to continue more of the same?
Norquist's threat? That he will help fund Republican campaign challenges against any member of Congress that violates the pledge.
So what I think I hear you saying is, we won't go over the cliff.
I think that we'll continue the tax cuts, not raise taxes, $500 billion.
While Norquist tries to keep Republicans in line
and protecting Medicare, Medicaid, and education from cuts,
major unions have already spent $300,000 targeting Democrats, hoping to stop any cuts to entitlement programs.
Congressional staffers met over the holiday week, and congressional leaders hope to meet with the president in the coming week. There are predictions this could all be wrapped up before Christmas. We'll see.
And we will see indeed, but this is a story that is not yet done. From WMAZ Channel 13 in Georgia, Senator Saxby Chambliss, as we were just saying, cares more about the country than the Norquist pledge. He says times have changed. Let's listen to this.
Pledge I signed 20 years ago was valid then. It's
It's valid now, but times have changed significantly, and I care more about this country than I do about a 20-year-old pledge. And I care about the country we're going to leave for our children and grandchildren. If we do it his way, then we'll continue in debt. And I just have a disagreement with him about that.
Do you think that Grover Norquist would hold a no new tax pledge that you signed 20 years ago? Would he hold that against you in an upcoming reelection bid for the U.S. Senate?
Well, you know, in all likelihood, yes. But I don't worry about that because I care too much about my country. I care a lot more about it than I do about Grover Norquist. And right now, we've got an issue of how we're going to figure this out. And it's kind of interesting. Grover Norquist has no plan to pay this debt down. His plan says you continue to add to the debt. And I just have a fundamental disagreement with him about that. And I'm willing to do the right thing and let the political consequences take care of themselves. If we get this country back on track, that's the most important thing, and the politics will follow that.
Now, the dialogue alone is newsworthy, because this is not a dialogue we would have had 3 months ago, 6 months ago, 5 years ago. So that the dialogue is even happening is a step in the right direction. We had also said that Senator Lindsey Graham, who is not known for his kindness to President Obama, is also looking to back away from the Norquist pledge. This is what he said on this week on ABC.
Okay, Senator Graham, you've signaled that you're willing to raise revenues as part of an overall deal that also includes spending cuts, and that's drawn the fire of Grover Norquist, you know, the author of that no tax pledge that's been in place among so many Republicans for 20 years right now. He thinks the best solution is actually not to negotiate a compromise right now, is to go over the cliff. He says the world won't come to an end if this isn't resolved before January. Take the sequester. The only thing worse than sequester cuts is to not cut spending at all. He's saying don't raise taxes, accept those spending cuts.
Well, what I would say to Grover Norquist is that the sequester destroys the United States military. According to our own Secretary of Defense, it would be shooting ourselves in the head. You'd have the smallest army since 1940, the smallest navy since 1915, the smallest air force in the history of the country. So sequestration must be replaced. I'm willing to generate revenue. It's fair to ask my party to put revenue on the table. We're below historic averages. I will not raise tax rates to do it. I will cap deductions. If you cap deductions around the $30,000, $40,000 range, you can raise $1 trillion in revenue, and the people who lose their deductions are their upper income Americans. But to do this, I just don't want to promise a spending cut, so I want entitlement reforms. Republicans always put revenue on the table. Democrats always promise to cut spending. Well, we never cut spending. What I'm looking for is more revenue for entitlement reform before the end of the year.
I want to ask Senator Durbin about that, but let me press you one more time on Grover Norquist, because he's had some tough words for you. Yeah. In the end, he said you're not going to go through on this promise to raise revenues because you, quote, like being a senator. Your response?
I love being a senator, and I want to be a senator that that matters for the state of South Carolina and the country. When you're $16 trillion in debt, the only pledge we should be making to each other is to avoid becoming Greece. And Republicans should put revenue on the table. We're this far in debt. We don't generate enough revenue. Capping deductions will help generate revenue. Raising tax rates will hurt job creation. So I agree with Grover, we shouldn't raise rates, but I think Grover is wrong when it comes to we can't cap deductions and buy down debt. What do you do with the money? I want to buy down debt and cut rates to create jobs, but I will violate the pledge, long story short, for the good of the country, only if Democrats will do entitlement reform.
And this story is not over. We'll get to more audio on the other side of the break. Again, the dialogue, the shift in the dialogue is significant. We now have seen, since November 6th, all of a sudden, a Republican love for immigration reform. It was never there before. Now it's there. You're going to see, especially in the Senate, somebody like Marco Rubio becoming far more relevant because he is Latino. And they understand that if they hold him up as some kind of example, and unfortunately, it's for the wrong reasons. He's certainly not qualified at this point as presidential material. But if that's what Republicans need to do to get what they want, Well, they're willing to do that. Marco Rubio is a smart guy. He's an opportunist. He has an ego. Anybody that runs for political office does. That included me. And I understand that. But it'll be all for the wrong reasons. This tax pledge, this idea that we can somehow strengthen the country. Listen to this. After 20 years of failed Republican policy, after 20 years of being trying to be sold on trickle-down economics, where you cut the tax rates for the wealthiest Americans, and as a result of that, they will reinvest those savings into the workplace. If they actually produce jobs, we would be having a very different conversation today. In fact, we'd have a very different president today. But they don't work. They never have, and they never will. We can demonstratively prove that. It's not a matter of opinion. It's a matter of fact. We've seen that also happen here in the state of Michigan on a more micro level, where we saw nothing but tax cuts for businesses and literally no investment and no growth, no strength in our job market. We'll see what happens when the holiday season's over with. Things level out a little bit. And, of course, I would love to see some growth in the Michigan economy, in the national economy. It's going to have to happen, though, with compromise. And that's what we're hearing the Republicans say, is they're willing to compromise. Now, the question is it just conversation? When we come back, Chris Wallace sat down with John McCain. They talked about a lot of things, including tax cuts. We'll get to that in short order. Feel free to join us if you've got a comment on what we're talking about. 888-552-3595. It is Monday. We'll be back right after this.
First Chip with Tony Triano.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to. This isn't political. So I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do.
On 1310 WDPW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020 Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Recently on First Shift,
Pastor Reverend D. Alexander Bullock.
If we're organized, then we can push the elected officials to represent the people, to make sure that resources are expanded and spread throughout the region in a way that is equitable and helpful for all people. We should have no child left behind, no community left behind. We should not have a race to the bottom, but there should be a floor for the poor and indeed a roof for the rich.
First Chip with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW.
Credit card overworked? Mine too.
That's why I'm entering the holiday shopping giveaway at SweetJack.com. If you win, SweetJack will overnight a Visa gift card loaded with $5,000 to pay for your holiday shopping. What gift would you buy yourself? Enter the holiday shopping giveaway now at SweetJack.com to get your gifts on Jack.
No purchase necessary.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter. Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
All right, welcome back. 10 minutes before 7 o'clock, and man, time flies. Welcome back and good morning. Happy holidays to you. We've been talking about Republicans posturing on the Grover-Norquist tax pledge, tax cuts. We do know that this is very much a part of President Obama's agenda. He's made it very clear that he will let the Bush tax cuts expire. Republicans are now speaking differently. That can be a good thing. As I said, Chris Wallace sat down with Senator John McCain this weekend, and this is what they talked about.
Let me ask you, though. You say you would consider more revenue, but through loopholes and deductions,
sure.
Not through
rates. And there's so
rates.
Many of them. Yes.
Let me ask you about this, though. You voted against the Bush tax cuts a decade ago because, and I went back and looked at it, mm-hmm. You said too many of the benefits go to the wealthy, not to the middle class. Now, once they were passed, you changed mm-hmm. your view and said they've taken effect. I'm not going to oppose them. But if you could get a solid deal with, as you call for, spending cuts and entitlement reform and make a major, take a chunk out of the national debt, why is the 35% top tax rate, which you opposed, sacred?
Because every economist that I respect says that if you raise tax rates at this time, in fact, the president even said that a couple of years ago, that then it harms the economy. We're trying to help the economy. And so unless I can be convinced that raising tax rates will be beneficial, then obviously I think there's reason and grounds for my position. But I also believe that we can and must get an agreement. Otherwise, I think, first of all, the markets are going to start reacting.
All right. Well, okay. Let's take a look at what he just said. Tax rates, as Lindsey Graham said, are at a historic low. Well below anything we've seen in this country. And so we have to be mindful of that. We do need to raise taxes. There's no question that is true. We do need to cut spending. There's no question that's true. We can take a look at entitlements and decide how to cut them. But we have to do that very responsibly, and we have to, slide that in here and there. This can't be some wide overreaching, overarching fundamental change that all happens in a day. Just can't be that way. It would be unfair, depending on what kind of reforms they do to entitlement spending. And how do you define, what an entitlement is? We now know, as the baby boomers are now going into retirement, that it is going to put a stress on the system. I don't question that. We do have to remind ourselves that it's the politicians themselves that were spending money that was designated for Social Security, and that Social Security does not add to our national deficit in any way, shape, or form. We do need to be mindful of that and reminded of it. So is this a signal that the Republicans are going to work with this president? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that question, because ultimately we have to wait and see what happens as they move forward. They are in a deadline. That deadline is approaching quickly. They seem to be moving without much urgency, which concerns me a great deal. But, just have to wait and see what happens. At the state level, the legislature is back in session tomorrow. We need to be very careful of what they do and keep our eye on what they do in this lame duck, as there's lots and lots of very dangerous stuff on the statewide Republican agenda. They don't seem to be in the same philosophy with the national Republicans, at least with regard to dialogue. You know, keep in mind at this point, it's all dialogue. It's nothing but dialogue. They're nothing but words. There are no promises being made. There are no deals being talked about. And so we need to be very mindful of that until some decisions are made. These are just conversations, and you should take it for what it's worth, whatever it is worth. Now, in the next hour, we are going to talk to Richard Mack, who's an attorney with Miller Cohen. He has been working with a group of attorneys, a group of unions, to try to help solve Detroit's fiscal problems. It seems to me, as we take a look at everything that's transpired over the last 4 or 5 days, even while we were out on our break, that the mayor has a problem. Mayor Dave Bing has a serious problem. And I still question how the city council can take the rest of the year off with all the problems that are plaguing them right now. But, hey, maybe that's just me. We are going to go to the phones and wrap up this hour with Tom in Detroit. Tom, happy holidays to you. Welcome to First Shift.
And the same to you, Tony, and then folks in the listening audience. Wanted to reference yesterday's article in the Detroit Free Press. It says rebuilding Detroit is the turnaround, turning a corner. And I would say, yeah, because in that article, they were talking about specifically Midtown and how, you know, people are coming in there, you know, wanting to open up businesses, but they can't find a suitable place. So what's happening is you're having spillover into other areas of the city. And you know, they cited some businesses in there that have moved down to southwest Detroit and here and there. And what they're saying is this thing is kind of like starting to, you know, to use my word, it's kind of like blossom and, you know, and move out. And, I mean, if you look at it, just in terms of downtown, and please correct me if I'm pronouncing the gentleman's name wrong, the CEO and chairman of Blue Cross Blue Shield, Dan Lepp, and also founder and chairman of Quicken Loans, Dan Gilbert, those two together have bought 10,000-plus jobs downtown. And, I mean, you know, that's got to create some kind of synergy effect in terms of, you know, people, that many people. They're not bringing brown bags. Okay, and, you know, some of them are not going to take the trek back out to the burbs to, you know, coming back and forth to work. And they've actually set up residency downtown. And they're walking to work. They're going to restaurants. They're going to other entertainment venues. So, you know, people are going to start picking up extra staff to accommodate, you know, those people who patronize their businesses. And I say, you know, slowly it's picking, you know, it's turning a corner. And I'd rather see it go slow than real fast, because I often equate it to like building, you know, making a cake. You know, if you're missing an ingredient in that cake, you put it in the oven and it rises and it looks real pretty, and guess what? Because of that one ingredient, it falls, and you got to kind of start all over again.
Well, you know, Tom, I was downtown on Saturday. Anthony mm-hmm. just moved downtown, so we went to see his apartment, got a real nice mm-hmm. place, and we went out to dinner afterwards, and when we walked into the restaurant, it was empty. When we walked out, it was full. I was also downtown on, Friday night. I was also downtown on Saturday. I went to a concert at Joe Louis Arena, and there was a lot of synergy, and there was a lot of energy, and people hustling and bustling about. You know, ultimately, yeah, I do believe it's turned a corner, and I do believe it will get stronger, and I just... You know, the one area of concern is that the rentals, of course, have become difficult to come by. But when are people going to start buying in Detroit? And that's what really will help the foundation of the city. But, yeah, Tom, it's certainly on a rebound. We got to get out for the top of the hour. All right. Thanks for your call. In the next hour, folks, a little Walmart in a little city of Detroit. We got a lot to get to. Don't go anywhere. The top of the hour news comes up right now.
WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Comcast Business Class.
Checking that traffic, you're still looking good on your commute. No accidents to report. We do have some utility work that will block the left lane on Van Dyke southbound between Harper and Palmer. That will start at 9 a.m. Also, the live southbound, the on-ramp to Claremont, that will be closed starting at 9 a.m. for construction work. And Middlebelt Road just north of 94, watching that broken water main, so use some caution in that area. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Business can't wait for Internet, voice, and TV solutions from Comcast Business Class. It's a new breed of speed. To learn more, call 800-501-6000 or visit business.comcast.com today.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy and 38. Tonight, a low of 23. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 35. And it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Hey, it's Joe. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 AM. WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is up next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Dirk Van. Those early openings paid off. Retailers report the best ever start to the holiday shopping season. More than $59 billion in sales since Thursday. NBC's Kristen Dahlgren says we're busy on the web, too.
For the first time, online spending topped $1 billion on Black Friday, well before so-called Cyber Monday. Also expected to break records.
Cyber Monday sales expected to top $1.5 billion. More American students are making the grade when it comes to honesty. New survey finds the number of high school kids who admit cheating, lying, or stealing is down for the first time in a decade. Wall Street coming off a bullish week, but futures point to a lower open. And Hollywood gave thanks to vampires and spies over the holiday weekend. Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 2 raking in $43 million, while James Bond Skyfall took in $36 million. This is NBC News Radio. Will it be politics as usual? The lame duck Congress is back. Red ink tops the agenda. How to avert the so-called fiscal cliff of tax hikes and spending cuts set to kick in January 1st. NBC's Mike Vaccaro says the big question, will Republicans break their no-tax pledge?
Republicans insist, in return for defying party doctrine, Democrats must agree to changes in Social Security and Medicare.
Israeli officials are in Cairo today for more talks on the Egyptian-brokered ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. The truce put an end to more than a week of fighting that killed more than 150 Palestinians in Gaza and at least five Israelis. And you say you need a vacation. According to Expedia's Vacation Deprivation Survey, Americans are slackers compared with Asian nations, led by Japan, where workers take just 5 of the average 13 days off offered each year. Americans, we take an average 10 vacation days. I'm Dirk Van, NBC News Radio.
You want to give one special gift. It shows that you love what they do. It gives them cheer all through the year. You always hear, thank you.
Give a, give a, give a, give a garden.
Newman, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Oh, no. Are you sick too, sir?
Newman, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from AccountTemps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes. What's that?
On second thought, Bob from AccountTemps could handle payroll, too.
Bob.
Call AccountTemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. AccountTemps, a Robert Half Company.
What the Samsung is going on here? Reports say Apple is adding 6 additional Samsung devices to its patent infringement lawsuits, seeking U.S. sales injunctions. They include the Galaxy Note 2 and the Galaxy S3. No public comment from Samsung, but through the process, it has said it does not infringe on any of Apple's patents. And in fact, it says it is Apple which has infringed on Samsung patents. Efforts toward a free trade agreement between the U.S. and Europe gaining momentum and finally may be attainable. That's according to the New York Times, citing business and political leaders here and over there. Supporters say if technical hurdles can be overcome, it could rival the North American Free Trade Agreement in scale and be a cheap way to encourage more growth between the European Union and the U.S. Despite word Black Friday weekend was by most accounts a good success for retailers, we are seeing stock futures lower. S&P futures down 4, NASDAQ futures down 4 as well. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
How would you like to try a sales-generating tool for your business that is so good at locating qualified leads it's been called best of the breed? If your business thrives on selling to other businesses, then get ready for a toll-free number and a free trial offer that could literally revolutionize your sales. Hovers, a D&B company, has developed a powerful tool to connect you to qualified buyers for your product or service that is fast and easy. No more wasting time getting leads manually. No more pre-configured lists of names that don't fit your business. Hoover's advanced targeting technology helps you reach the market that will be most receptive to your product or service. For a limited time, Hoover's would like to offer their radio listeners 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial.
Just call 800-239-0011. That's a free trial and 50 free leads. Call now. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. Again, 800-239-0011.
Staples Copy and Print knows you need to promote your business.
Outdoor banners.
Detailing your one-of-a-kind product offering.
Trifold, full-color, double-sided brochures.
As you grow your business.
Business cards, postcards, car magnets.
And your customer base.
Design services, presentations, shipping.
So you go to the one place that has it all and prints it right.
Staples.
And right now, get 50% off photo cards and invitations. No coupon needed. Limited time only. Details in-store and at Staples.com. Staples. That was easy.
Nelvin, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Ooh. Oh, no, are you sick too, sir?
Nelvin, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from Account Temps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes! What's that?
On second thought, Bob from Account Temps could handle payroll, too.
Bob.
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half.
As you grab your time card and get ready to punch in, and as you dedicate another day to honoring your contract and your commitment to quality,
maybe it's time to reinforce to your boss and your elected representatives that they owe you for continuing to make their lives easier.
And that it is the work that you do that rewards them for the work that they do.
That it is because of you that progress is made.
That your sacrifices and your willingness to change help them grow.
And now it's time to honor what you have done.
And what you have done cannot be ignored any longer.
You will now raise your voice.
Your voice is now. First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome, everybody. It is 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Monday, the 26th day of November. I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving Day holiday weekend, got some rest or shopping, whatever you wanted to do. As you knew, last week I was railing against the Thursday opening of stores. Very much disapprove of stores being open on the Thanksgiving Day holiday. As to me, it is the most family-friendly holiday in the year. And yet so many people were torn away from their families or weren't able to join their families at all as a result of many stores being open on Thanksgiving during the day, including my sister's partner, who unfortunately had to leave us in mid-dinner because she had to go work at, of all places, Walmart. Well, that's okay. You know, there are people that work at Walmart. They're the largest employer in the country. And we are going to take a look at that today. Anybody that knows my past at all knows that I have been an anti-Walmart force now for many, many years. My initial indoctrination into Walmart and my friendship with the United Food and Commercial Workers, the UFCW, came as a result of being asked some years ago to speak at a Walmart anti-Walmart rally. And I've done many of them since. Well, Walmart was the biggest perpetrator this weekend of disenfranchising their employees. As many of you know, there were protest targets all over the country, including right here in Dearborn, Michigan, on Thursday and on Friday, greeting shoppers with the message that Walmart is not a fair employer. Well, joining me now is a Walmart worker. Cynthia Murray has been with Walmart, my understanding is, for over 10 years. She is from out of state, and we will not identify where she is from at this point. But we do want to thank Cynthia for joining us this morning. A pleasure to have you with us, and happy holidays, Cynthia.
Thank you so much for having me this morning.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, I have been on this story now for the better part of 7 or 8 years, maybe even longer, Cynthia. I don't think people understand the depths that Walmart management goes through to suppress its workers, and maybe they're beginning to understand it a little bit more, but things have to change, don't they?
Oh, yes. You're exactly right. I've also been out here for at least 6 or 7 years trying to enlighten the public and letting them know the path that Walmart now is on. And, you know, what really gets to me is Walmart proclaims to be a family-oriented store. But I don't see that when you're taking workers away from their family one time a year. And I think we all want to give thanks and sit with our family, if no other time in the year, but at least at Thanksgiving. And I don't think and know that it would not have hurt Walmart to stand up as a giant company that they are and say, our sales are going to happen on Black Friday. Now it's Black Thursday, Black Friday, and I'm like, well, so what's next? Will they take our Christmas away as well?
Well, Cynthia, don't say that too loud because I wouldn't put it past them. And unfortunately,
that's why I'm saying it, because I think that's their next move. And so then, in other words, there will be no holiday that is untouchable for them. And I think we all need to bring it out loud and clear that we want our families with us on Thanksgiving Day. It wouldn't have hurt them to wait until Friday, because the people that shop at Walmart would have come in on Friday. They would have definitely came on Black Friday. There's no doubt about that.
No, no question. And I don't know how busy the Walmart stores were around the country. I know in the 1,000 stores that there were protests, they were successful in turning some people away once they were made aware of why people were protesting. But, Cynthia, you know, we need to kind of go back to a little bit of a foundation here. Anybody that's not familiar with Walmart as an employer really has no idea that you can have many years of service and still make $10 an hour or less, that the health insurance is anything but something to be proud of, and it is quite expensive, even though they claim they're giving their employees a deal. Cynthia, I could spend the next 2 hours talking about all of the things that Walmart does wrong, but these are truths. I'm not making this stuff up.
No, you're not making up. You're exactly right. It doesn't matter. I'm going on my 13th year this year, and I'm not making what one of our regional had put on the news out there that we started 12:37 an hour or 12:78 an hour. I'm going on 13 years now. I'm starting my 13th year this year, and I'm not there yet. And our health care? Our health care, Walmart doesn't put anything to it, not a penny. What they do is we get nothing but a group discounted rate, and that's the associates that can get it. A whole lot can. It went up, I think, almost 16% this year.
16%.
Okay, I don't have their health care. I can't afford it.
Well, you know, I watched a video, Cynthia, recently where a bunch of Walmart associates just kind of stood in front of a camera and said how working at Walmart has affected them. Well, one woman said that she was 51 years old and couldn't even afford to live by herself on what she made at Walmart. Another employee went on to say that he had to choose between health care and feeding his family. And again, Cynthia, I could go on and on and on. One of the questions that people often ask is, if it's so bad, why do you work there? Well, you know, I'll let you answer that, but I would suggest it's not like there are jobs just falling in people's laps these days.
Well, that's one of the reasons I truly stay, because the associate, we have a lot of long-time associates that have been with Walmart. And when I mean that, 17, 18, 19, some people have a lot of years invested in Walmart. You become, and I know you've heard the term Wally World. People become family in these stores. These associates become close-knit, bonded. And, you know, it does have to do with the fact that our economy is so bad at this point. But you know what? Walmart could give us a hand to make this economy go around better if they would give associates a living wage. Give us some health care. I mean, pay something towards it. They're not paying anything. But it is so ironic because you got this billion-dollar company, and people are like, well, why are you going and talking about Walmart? The reason I'm talking about Walmart is because I work there, and I know what the conditions are. We want to be respected. We just want decent wages. We're not asking them to give us anything. Our founder, Sam Walton, I'm pretty sure isn't happy with the way that they treat their workers. Sam Walton treated his workers well, and he made sure that they had what they need. Once Mrs. Walton died 2 years back, they took the rest of our benefits that we really had that benefited any of us. And I know they don't want that out there, but I'm letting it out there today. Our benefits have been taken away from us 2 years ago. And, I mean, they looked at me and said, well, you know, you got a 401K. Well, the only way you get anything in that 401K is if you put that money in there. I have people who can't buy a bottle of Tylenol for their child. Do you think they got that money to stick into a 401K? No, not at all.
You know, it's Cynthia Murray, my guest. She's a Walmart associate, and we're talking about the unfair way Walmart treats their employees and have for a long time now. You know, Cynthia, you bring up a good point. When Sam Walton was alive, and I remember, and I'm sure you do too, when Walmart's slogan was Made in America. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes, I do.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't think there's too much in those stores made in America any longer. And, you know, they have very stringent rules. A recent article in The Nation magazine told the story of somebody that just decided to be honest and said that they've got a 4-strike rule. If you have written up for any reason 4 times, no questions asked, you are fired no matter how valuable you might be. If you break something, it's your fault. If something breaks down while you're using it, it's your fault. I mean, Cynthia, these are just unfair practices.
Oh, yes, and it happens every day. Just like recently, well, not recently, the last couple of years, they run around to hunt you down if you have one minute now of overtime. And I'm like, really? And what really gets me is our stores are understaffed, very much understaffed. And they do it purposely. Their slogan is, use the best that you can, get the most out of those workers you can. And, you know, I've seen that an associate can be in their area doing their job, and they're taken out of their area to go do another job in another area somewhere. And then they want to reprimand them because their area isn't done. And I'm like, well, I don't see her being able to split herself in half and leave one half over here to do this job while she go over to another department and do another job. You know yourself, it's not, you can't do it. It's not happening. And with the overtime, you know, it's Christmas season, holiday season, we're trying to prepare. You know, some of these associates will generate, actually, they'll make them continue to keep working to get done what they're doing. Once they get done, maybe 2 days later, they'll be like, okay, we'll take a day off. So, in other words, any overtime that you generated, they took back.
Yeah, all right. Cynthia, stay where you're at. We've got to take a quick break here. Cynthia Murray, my guest, a Walmart associate from out of state, talking about the plague that is Walmart employment. A lot more to get to on the other side. If you want to join us, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. First Shift continues right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
There's no question about it, Tony. I always enjoy talking with you and meeting with you and sharing ideas. You do a great service to the community, and we're fortunate to have you on the air.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Taking a look at your traffic, let's head over to westbound 94 just before Little Mac. Accident has your left 2 lanes blocked, and traffic is getting by in the right lane only. And traffic is stop and go from North River Road. Middle Belt Road just north of 94, still have that broken water main, so use some caution in that area. And eastbound 96 between Wixom and Beck Roads, slow traffic there. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy and 38. Tonight, a low of 23.
Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 35, and it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, feed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020 Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 7 o'clock, Cynthia Murray is my guest. She's a Walmart associate. As many of you know, Walmart decided to open up on the Thanksgiving holiday, really stealing the holiday from thousands, hundreds of thousands of their associates around the country, and it is just wrong. They have become quite greedy, and let me give you an interesting little statistic. The Walton family itself owns more wealth than 45 million Americans in the middle class. Did you hear what I just said? The Walton family alone has more wealth combined than 45 million middle-class Americans. Cynthia Murray, do they really need that extra, I don't know, whatever they made on Thanksgiving Day? I'm going to suggest they would have done just fine, like you said, not opening until Friday.
Oh, yeah. I believe they would. Walmart would have made their money if they would have waited until Black Friday. This is what I'm saying. I want Walmart to stand up and make theirself a better company again. And in doing so, other retailers and other places would follow suit with them. Instead of Walmart following the other stores, I think they should now stand up and want to be one of the best companies that there is, since they're the largest company and retailer that there is across the country, and say enough is enough. Let's just do Black Friday. And, you know, let's start with that and just keep it like that and give these people their families their time back.
Well, there are many retailers that are not happy by Walmart's decision to open up when they did. In fact, they felt like they were forced into, which is just reinforcing the point that Cynthia just made, that they felt that they were forced to open perhaps much earlier than they would have or a day earlier than they would have because of Walmart's decision. Let's go to the phones and welcome Mike and Clausen. Happy holidays to you, Mike. Welcome to First Shift.
Merry Christmas, Tony.
Thank you, sir.
You remember the cartoon character Pogo?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, his most famous quote was, "We have met the enemy and he is us." Yeah, boy, that sure seems to be apropos. People, I don't know. Greed has overtaken compassion. And until we can get people to realize what Walmart is doing to our economy, to their workers, I don't know. You know, I'm pessimistic.
Well, we're going to continue to focus on what's happening at Walmart, Mike, throughout the holiday season. If we can perhaps help give the associates at Walmart a gift, that might be the gift of sanity. But we'll have to wait and see what happens. Thanks for your call, though. I appreciate your comments. You know, Cynthia, it's disheartening to me because Walmart does have some very loyal employees. You would be one of them. We know that the United Food and Commercial Workers have been trying to organize Walmart employees for many, many years now and are continuing to support workers in uncommonly supportive ways. How important is it to you, Cynthia, that the Walmart unionized to get you what you want?
Well, you know, we have our own organization now. It's called Our Walmart Organization. We have been out here almost 2 years now. It's made by associates for associates. And, yes, the UFCW has helped us build our organization. And it's the most powerful organization that we could have at this moment. And you know what? I give thanks every day to thank the UFCW and a couple other organizations that help us all year to form our organization. But it is. We need it. I mean, we have, what benefits do Walmart associates have? They have no health care. They have no living wage. So what do we have?
We
have nothing but disrespect.
You're right. You have no job security. You have no seniority. You can be, you're at-will employees. You can be fired for any possible reason, and oftentimes people are. Another story that I recently read about a young man that was working in a freezer warehouse that ripped his pants open and cut his leg because he has actually timed how long it takes him to fill a pallet that needs to be moved. He had a gash in his leg. He asked for a Band-Aid, and the supervisor actually said to him, "You know what? If you stop and do that, and you can feel free to do it, you're going to get behind, and you will be penalized for not making your time."
You're exactly right. They slap these pallets down, and they can give you any task. And a manager can yell at you, "You got 45 minutes within to do that." And you better bet that if you don't get it done within 45 minutes, and you're right, don't stop if you get hurt. You can if you want to, but you will be penalized for it. These are the disrespects that we're talking about. And, you know, Sam Walton's biggest thing was, if you need to know something, ask your associates. They can tell you better than anyone else. And he was right. The associates work in these we work in these stores. We know what we need. We know what our customers need. You know, they don't even really stop to really think about that anymore. Who is the main people? You know, Walmart associates, and it's unsaid, but Walmart associates are one of their best customers as well. We live in these stores. We buy in these stores. We generate the money as well. Not only do we do their blood and sweat, but we also giving that back in return by buying at their stores and doing so. We should be valued as two people, as a consumer and as an associate. And the word associate means equal partners. Well, I'm going to tell you, that is dead. We are not.
No, you're certainly not equal partners. There's no question about that, Cynthia Murray. No question about that is all. Well, let's take a look as we're getting close to running out of time here. Moving forward, what can we do as consumers to help with your cause there at Walmart, Cynthia?
Well, I have to say thanks to everyone that came out and supported us. We had over 500 people that came and supported us through the community, through everybody, faith leaders, the UFCW. There were so many people, and it was just, it made us feel good to know that everybody out there now is truly getting the meaning. And what we truly need is we need them, if it's text messaging, send a message to Walmart. Let Walmart know that we want them to change how they treat their associates. And by that, I mean there's so many different ways. We need a living wage. We need health care. We just need better pay. We need them to step up and raise these people wages. So to join with us, we have our own website. It's Our Walmart Organization. So it's ourwalmart.org, or actually, when you go to Facebook, you have to go to, I can't think what it is at the top of my head.
That's all right. We'll find it, and we'll get it posted. Yeah. We'll get it posted for you. That's not a problem.
But if they send Walmart a message, an email, telling them that they want to step back up to the plate like they used to do for us when Sam Walton was alive, to take care of their workers. We are the heart of their company. Without us workers, who is going to make them their money?
Yeah, you're 100% right. Cynthia Murray, we're just out of time. Our thoughts and prayers are with you. We are going to continue to follow this story. And I hope and pray that by this time next year, you get everything you want. More importantly, everything you deserve. Cynthia, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
It is my pleasure. Cynthia Murray, again, a Walmart associate. A quick break here. Richard Mack, attorney, when we continue.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Comcast Business Class.
Checking your traffic, we're still watching an accident. It's blocking your left two lanes on 94 westbound just before Little Mac, and traffic is getting by in the right lane only. Got heavy traffic on westbound 696 between DeQuinder and 75. And traffic is running slow on 75 southbound between Rochester and 8 Mile. Also on eastbound 96 between Milford and Beck Roads. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Business can't wait for internet, voice, and TV solutions from Comcast Business Class. It's a new breed of speed. To learn more, call 800-501-6000 or visit business.comcast.com today.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy and 38. Tonight, a low of 23. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 35. And it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. The GOP may finally be putting constituents over Grover Norquist. On Sunday, South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham said he would support breaking a pledge he signed to Norquist, vowing to oppose any and all tax increases. Graham told ABC's George Stephanopoulos that the only pledge Congress should be making is to avoid becoming Greece. He clarified that he disagreed with Norquist's suggestion that the government can't cap deductions or buy down debt. New York Representative Peter King told NBC's Meet the Press on Sunday that he agreed with recent statements from Georgia Senator Saxby Chambliss that the Norquist pledge is outdated and unhelpful. Norquist, president of the Americans for Tax Reform, has often threatened to primary any Republican that refuses to sign or uphold his pledge. Last week on his show, the People's Mike WIN producer Doug Cunningham interviewed National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare CEO Max Richtman on the importance of preserving Social Security and why it is a straw man symptom in the deficit debate.
Social Security and Medicare are good, successful programs that people love and they don't want to have cut. Is it fiscally sustainable to continue these programs at current benefit levels for the foreseeable future without having to cut them?
The trustees of Social Security issue a report every spring. And this past spring, they announced that this program would be able to pay everybody every penny they're entitled to until the year 2034. So that's quite a ways out. And then if nothing is done at all in terms of revenue or benefits, the program would pay about 77% of benefits that would be due for many, many years after that. Now, that's something that needs to be addressed, but that's not a crisis. The last time Social Security went through major reforms was in 1983 and 1984, and at that point, the solvency, we weren't looking at 22 years. We were looking at 4 or 5 months, and it would be impossible to send out checks. So we don't want to get to that point. But we want, before any changes are dealt with, but to do something either in an atmosphere of crisis would be a mistake, because there's no crisis, and to try to save Social Security money and use those savings to pay down the debt would be wrong, because this program hasn't added a single penny to that.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Become informed. Learn the truth. Stand and be recognized. You are tuned in to WDTW, 1310 AM. And it's time to get to work on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Monday, the 26th day of November 2012. Before I get to my next guest, I want to play a little audio because we're going to kind of start current and then work our way back on this story. As many of you know, right before the Thanksgiving Day holiday, the Detroit City Council did not approve what they said was, what the mayor said was a critical contract in order to provide needed monies coming into the city coffers to make payroll. As a result of that, he made an announcement, Mayor Bing, that is, that he was going to do mandatory furloughs, and we'll get into all of the details here in just a moment with my next guest. But today, the mayor has asked for an emergency session with City Council, who is off on break. Let's listen to this from WXYZ Channel 7.
Mayor Bing is setting himself up for another showdown with the City Council. A source tells me the mayor is calling an emergency council meeting tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. On the agenda, the issue of whether the council will approve a contract with Miller Canfield, a law firm the mayor wants to retain. This may seem like a minor issue, but without this approval, the city cannot unlock millions of dollars in bond money held by the state. And by next month, Detroit could be broke. But whether the mayor can get the council to approve the deal is a huge question. Last week, the council voted down the contract by a whopping 8-1 vote. Council members shot it down after being advised by Detroit's top attorney that there was a conflict of interest. Mayor Bing was fuming at council's position against the law firm.
I'm not going to be dictated to by council or anybody else who I use as my legal representative.
Council has a closed-door meeting scheduled for Tuesday, but they don't come back for a regular session until December 11th. And my sources inside City Hall tell me there's a number of reasons why the council is uncomfortable with this Miller Canfield contract. It's not that they think the law firm will do a bad job. It's that some say that the mayor has not been providing the invoices for the services that have been provided by Miller Canfield. They want to see what's being paid for, what they're being charged, and what services are being rendered. Also, there's an issue with the consent deal. That's the deal that Detroit has with the state, the stability agreement. The city council, the top attorney here, is telling the city council there may be a conflict of interest because Miller Canfield helped craft that deal. So a lot of moving parts here. We'll see how this all plays out. It should be very dramatic, though. Whenever the mayor goes before city council, lately it has been quite the show. A lot of fireworks. These two camps right now not getting along at all. Reporting live downtown, I'm Tom Waite, 7 Action News.
All right, let us bring on our next guest. Joining us now is Richard Mack. Richard is a lawyer at the Miller Cohen Law Firm. He represents the coalition of Detroit unions that banded together to help Detroit with its fiscal crisis, which, of course, the city has ignored. Richard, it's a pleasure to have you on the show this morning.
Hey, greetings, Tony. I just got to say that for any of you in Radio Land who have not had the pleasure of hearing Tony Trupiano deliver a keynote address, you've not lived. You've missed out. I had the pleasure of being parliamentarian at the Metro AFL convention, and wow, you brought it, man. You really made it think about a lot of different things.
This
contract, let me just say, it's not at all about bashing any particular law firm. I happen to have a lot of respect for a number of the lawyers at the Miller Canfield firm. I litigate against them a lot. But the issue is, Tony, that there was a conflict of interest in using this firm. And let me just paint the picture. Back in March of this year, the city was in a cash crisis as usual. And, of course, the U-Call, the unions presented more than $100 million in annual savings to the city, which were not realized, by the way, which could have, if actually they had voted on them, we would have been out of this, a lot of this fiscal mess that we're in. But that's a fight we fought. But anyway, the city needed to borrow money. And because it couldn't float the bonds on its own because of its debt rating, they needed with an entity called the Michigan Finance Authority, which is basically like a state entity. So in negotiating the deal with the state, the city was told to use Miller Canfield Law Firm. So you had Miller Canfield on the state side and Miller Canfield on the city side negotiating this bond deal. Well, Tony, what typically happens when a municipality gets bonds from the MFA, negotiated the bond, they get that money. They get access to that money. But in this case, Tony, in this unique situation, the state said, I don't want the city to have access to its own money. This is the city's money. We're citizens. I'm a Detroit citizen. We're paying taxes, or we're paying interest on that borrowed money right now, the $137 million. But Dylan said, I don't want the city to have access to this money. Even the Michigan Finance Authority, Tony, said, they didn't have a problem with the city having access to the money. It was Andy Dillon who said, I want them to have to come to me to get permission to use the money. So that was the first major conflict that there was, Tony, is that if the city of Detroit would have had its own lawyer in that negotiation, the city lawyers most assuredly would have said it would have been malpractice to do anything but to say, my client will have access to its own money, especially if the board issuing the money it doesn't have a problem with. You fast forward, Tony, to the vote, Public Act 4. Of course, Public Act 4 was defeated. Within a week afterwards, and there's no coincidence, within a week after Public Act 4, here comes this milestone agreement, which adds all of these onerous conditions on when the city will have access to its money. I mean, things, not just the Miller Canfield contract, but all sorts of things. But in this milestone agreement, it made requirements. The city meet certain milestones in order to get $30 million, or actually the rest of it, $80 million, is still in escrow. One of those conditions was that Miller Canfield received a lucrative contract. Now, the contract initially would be for $300,000, it's going to be upwards of $1 million once you go through the whole change order process. So $1 million contract to the Miller Canfield firm. And the other conflict, Tony, is that the Miller Canfield firm wrote that milestone agreement. So the firm itself wrote the agreement to give itself a contract. Now, if I don't know what a conflict is, someone has to show me. But that's the situation that we're in now. And the city council, they approved all the other milestones necessary to get a draw of $10 million by November 20th, the one they did not approve was the Miller Canfield contract. City Council said, go to another firm. If we need a firm, we have lawyers that can do bond work, that can review the financial stability agreement, and do all the rest. But go to one of the dozens of other firms in this town, Lewis and Mundy, for instance, been doing bond work since the Coleman Young years. Go to another firm. We just don't want this particular firm because they present a significant conflict in the fact that the firm also represents the state. And the firm was also the lawyer for the city and the state in the negotiation of the consent agreement.
All right, now, Richard Mack, let me ask you this question. In your legal opinion, did the city council do the correct thing by voting down the contract with Miller Canfield?
Yes, absolutely. I think that the city council, first of all, per charter, which the city of Detroit voters voted on, and the right to do so is protected by the Michigan Constitution, per charter, the city voters said our corporation council must approve any use of an outside law firm. And the reason is because the city's already represented by corporation council. So if you're going to get another lawyer, you've got to go through Corporation Council. And that's laid out clearly in the charter.
All right, well, let me ask you this question. You just heard Mayor Bing and the report that aired yesterday on Channel 7 say the city council will not tell me which law firm I can and can't use. He does not have a legal foot to stand on, does he?
No, absolutely. In fact, what he said is that no one will dictate city council or anyone else, meaning the city citizens, voters, don't have a right to dictate the law firm that he uses. Well, he needs to read 7-205 in the city charter, which clearly lays out, 201, I'm sorry, clearly lays out that we, the citizens, that the city council, that corporation council does have the right to dictate the law firm that he will use. That's the charter that we live under. So, you know, he's flat wrong about that. But if anyone is interested in seeing why this is such a conflict of interest to use this one particular firm, you look at the consent agreement, how one-sided it is, how the fact that it essentially gives control of the state over the city's operations. This milestone agreement, Tony, that Dylan just insisted upon in order to get more money, requires not only the Miller Canfield contract, but also requires the city council, get this, give up its right to approve contracts. Again, per charter, the city council has the right to approve contracts now led by the city of Detroit. City council has to give up that right in many contracts. City council has to give up the right they have to give up the whole RFP process. So normally what happens is you have a contractor who wants to get a contract with the city of Detroit. They put it up for bid. People compete. The best one wins. All that's out the window for certain contracts in order to get this money. So basically, Dylan is forcing the city council and Mayor Bing to violate the city charter in order to get money that is already Detroit's money. It's not state's money. We are paying interest on it right now. So it's our money, but in order for us to get it, we have to jump through a bunch of hoops. Coincidentally, all these hoops show up after Public Act 4 failed. So instead of being able to control the city through statute, they're controlling the city through money that it's already borrowed.
All right. Man, I got a lot of questions. Richard, stay where you're at. We've got to take a quick break here. So let's do that, and we'll come back and talk about lots of other stuff. If you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. Tony@thetonyshow.org. On Twitter, @TonyTrupiano. Richard Mack, my guest. He's a lawyer with the Miller Cohen Law Firm. Again, a lot to get to on the other side of this break, so don't go anywhere. What's happening may come to fruition today. They're going to come to loggerheads today at some point. And is this just about posturing? Is it about legalities? Is it about what? What is it about at the end of the day? Because we're not making progress. Let's take the break here. More with Richard Mack right after this.
Recently on First Shift,
I proudly believe that the people of the great state of Michigan, every working family in this state, deserves better than they're getting. I'm never going to apologize for that.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Welcome, Tom in Detroit.
The one gentleman, the rich ultra-billionaire, that, as you called it, wasted $140 million, and it would have been better to give it to the poor. What do you think, where do you think that $140 million went? What happened to it? Did he just burn it? The money is spent on advertisement, hotels, anything to do. That money is spent. It put people to work. That money wasn't just, they didn't just burn it.
Oh, so now Sheldon Adelson's a job creator. That's what you're saying.
It sure certainly is.
First Shift with Tony Trivia
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. My guest again is Richard Mack. Richard is a lawyer with the Miller Cohen Law Firm. He represents a coalition of Detroit unions that banded together to help Detroit in its fiscal crisis. It was roundly ignored by the mayor. Apparently, there's more to this story than meets the eye. Richard, let me just get right to it because we only have about 8 more minutes left, and I think we're going to fill them pretty fast. The mayor comes out right before the holiday and says mandatory furloughs, mandatory unpaid days. They're going to keep essential staff or staff that, quote-unquote, creates revenue. Bottom line here is he's going after the unions once again.
Yep. That's the playbook, Tony. That's the standard playbook. Whenever there's a crisis, whenever there's a situation that needs to be solved, we're not going to go after the interest accruing on the from Wall Street. We're not going to go after the contractors who make hundreds of millions of dollars a year, asking them to save a dime. We're going to go after the folks that make $30,000 a year, who are experiencing a 10% pay cut, roughly 10% increase in health care costs, cuts in retirement, all the rest. So that's the knee-jerk reaction, unfortunately, of this administration.
Well, you know, Richard, let's ask an obvious question. You know, the mayor has a lot of culpability here. Why does he not know what you know? Or is he ignoring advice from his advisors, or does he not have good advisors? Why is he continuing to go after workers instead of going after the money?
Well, for almost the last year, the mayor has allowed the state to run Detroit. It's that plain and simple. If you look at, again, the consent agreement, if you look at the milestone agreement, and I encourage anyone to go on Detroit's website and pull it up, DetroitMI.gov, I read that thing and I wonder, why are we paying for a mayor? The basic lays out that the mayor has to, the treasurer has to approve an operational firm to basically operate certain departments, lay out a plan, they have to implement that, the restructuring firm. I mean, there's all of this stuff, and I'm wondering, it's Andy Dillon and the program manager who the state put in charge, who are basically running the city. Why are we paying for a mayor at that point in time? So he's being told what to do. This Miller Cancer contract was, from what I'm told, the mayor was told to hire them, and he's been using Miller Cancer in a number of instances. It's an absolute shame that, again, 82%, Tony, of the city of Detroit voted against Public Act 4. Proposal 1 failed in Detroit by 83%. So that ought to be an indication that, yes, we need help from the state, and we want assistance, not dictatorship. But, unfortunately, the mayor feels like he's bitten the apple and he's got to chew it as far as being told what to do by the state.
Right. Well, so that brings up an obvious question. We started with what's going to happen today. There's going to be if I understood that correctly, a closed-door meeting between the mayor and the city council where he's going to ask them to reconsider the contract of Miller Canfield. I think it's fairly clear when the vote is 8-1 that it's going to be really hard to get four or five people to change their vote on this.
You hope so, Tony. I've seen stranger things in the past in my dealings with the city. I've been practicing law 15 years, and I never sleep until the goose is cooked. But the fact that he's bringing it back before council suggests that there may very well be votes that they have for this Miller-Canfield contract. But not only that, the rest of this, all throughout the month of December, these provisions that they're asking the city to do in order to get the next $20 million are even worse. But again, it's not about just this one. Well, the question has to be asked, Tony, what is it about this one contract? I mean, Mayor Dillon, State Treasurer Dillon said he would let Detroit go bankrupt. The governor would let Detroit go bankrupt. Of course, Mitt Romney said the same thing. In order to get this one contract, to make sure that this contract is put in place. So you have to ask, what is it about this one contract? What is it about this one term that's so important, given the fact that per charter, the Corporation Council has rejected it because there's clear conflicts of interest all throughout the line. And he's not getting answered the question. And that's really the worst of it all, is that it leads to the whole, the rumor mill of conspiracy, of pay to play and all of this other stuff. Well, the best way to deal with that is to be open and transparent, like the governor likes to say. And when you're not that, and you allow, the cover-up's always worse than the crime, right? When you allow that stuff to fester and you don't come head-on and address it, you have those sorts of rumor mills being created, and that's unfortunate.
Well, let's talk for a moment about Michigan AFSCME Council 25, who has been a true leader and trying to help not only their membership, but the citizens of the city of Detroit. They have come with solutions many times. What are they asking, very quickly, Richard Mack, what are they asking to happen with regard to this Miller-Canfield contract?
We are asking not only for Miller-Canfield to reject the contract, and it's Michigan AFSCME, the coalition of 33 unions. You've got the police, the senators, you've got all of the city's unions who are coming together, and they're asking the Miller-Canfield contract to be rejected for the city to hire another firm if you need another firm. And this is another important piece, Tony. Last Tuesday, city council passed a resolution urging the mayor to go to court to get our money. The city council passed that resolution saying, Mr. Mayor, stand up, go to court, get our money from Andy Dillon. It's our money. We borrowed it. MFA didn't require all these conditions. None of these conditions existed before Public Act 4 failed. So now he can't come adding on these conditions. So go to court and get our money. We're asking that the contract be rejected, that this milestone agreement be rejected, and that the mayor stand up and get to court to get money that we're entitled to. That's what we're asking.
All right. Well, we're going to have to just play this out and wait and see what happens today. Richard, I have a chance. I have a feeling we're going to be in touch with you perhaps yet again this week. I don't see this being resolved. Very quickly, yes or no, the city council showing leadership on this issue, yes?
They have. They showed leadership last Tuesday. They voted in favor of an NDP outsourcing contract, which was a problem. But on this Miller-Canfield issue, on the milestone agreement issue, they have shown leadership. They voted to encourage the mayor to go to court and get our money. We'll see what they do Monday. We'll see if the turkey and the dressing has caused any change of hearts and minds, of course, any phone calls from the administration or what have you.
Well,
I mean, they are running for election next year, so that's another consideration. But we'll see what happens.
And we will. Richard Mack, thank you so much for being with us this morning. Like I said, we'll be in touch. Thanks again.
Absolutely. Thanks, Tony.
Appreciate it. Richard Mack again with the law firm of Miller Cohen. By the way, not related in any way to Miller Canfield, just so you know. Quick break for the top of the hour. Chairman Mark Brewer on the other side. Chris Savage with Eclectablog as our Monday morning First Shift program continues.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, we're still watching an accident that's blocking your left two lanes on 94 westbound just before Little Mac, and traffic is getting by in the right lane only. Got heavy traffic on westbound 696 between DeQuinder and 75, and traffic is running slow on 75 southbound between Rochester and 8 Mile, also on eastbound 96 between Milford and Beck Roads. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy and 38. Tonight, a low of 23. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 35. And it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this top of the hour NBC News.
NBC News Radio. I'm Dirk Van. Happy Cyber Monday. This is the day for big online bargains following what experts are calling the best ever kickoff to the holiday shopping season. NBC's Diane Alviar.
This year, experts estimate online sales will rise 12% thanks to a growing number of so-called couch consumers.
And the advantages of online shopping.
I don't have to worry about lines. I don't have to worry about people being irritable.
Retailers report more than $59 billion in sales since Thursday. Bailing out Greece is the goal. At an EU meeting in Brussels today, Greece needs $57 billion to prevent bankruptcy. There may be hope for the Twinkie. The Wall Street Journal says Flowers Foods, Inc., maker of Tasty Cake and Nature's Own, sizing up Twinkies and other products owned by the bankrupt Hostess brands. And time is still on their side. The Rolling Stones rocked them in London last night, the start of their 50th anniversary tour. Fans say the 69-year-old Mick Jagger had the energy of a teenager. This is NBC News Radio. Congress goes back to work today under pressure to reach a deal before the December 31st fiscal cliff deadline. NBC's Chuck Todd says it's all about taxes.
Both parties agree that the wealthiest have to pay more. The question now and the sticking point at this stage is how do you go about making the wealthiest pay more?
Senator John McCain is softening his stance, saying he's willing to consider UN Ambassador Susan Rice as a future Secretary of State. He says Rice would have to explain the administration's response to the Benghazi attack. A climate change conference in Qatar, attracting representatives from more than 200 countries today. Among the big issues, greenhouse gas emissions from developing countries. And are you feeling lucky? There's a lot of money in Wednesday's Powerball jackpot, biggest ever. No winners over the weekend means at least $425 million on the line, and it could be significantly more than that as the deadline nears. I'm Dirk Van, NBC News Radio.
Guys, remember when you could work all day, play all night, and romance was electrifying? And then you got older, tireder, and your waistline got bigger. What's happened? Simple. You're losing testosterone. Well, get it back safely, naturally, and inexpensively with Andro 400. Listen to what Don from Greenville, South Carolina says.
I am only 10 weeks into taking Andro 400, and I have lost 12 pounds and 3 inches from my waist. My energy level has increased, and my appetite has decreased. All this without additional exercise. Normally, I scoff at radio or TV ads promising results like this, but in this case, my results have far exceeded my expectations.
Experience all the benefits of increased testosterone the safe and natural way with Andro 400. Go to andro400.com today and get our best offer of the year, up to 40% off. Go now, andro400.com.
Apple is adding items to its list of products it says infringe on its mobile device patents, and all those products are made by Samsung. Reports say 6 new devices, including the Samsung Galaxy S3 and Galaxy Note 2, are named in fresh court filings claiming Samsung devices are largely Apple knockoffs. It wants a U.S. sales injunction. No word from Samsung, but it has countersued Apple for patent infringement in the past. Stock futures are sliding even after Friday's half-day Wall Street capping of the best market week in months. S&P futures are down 7, NASDAQ futures losing 8, Dow futures down 56. We normally do not talk about the Egyptian stock market, so when we do, it means there is big news. In this case, a big drop. We're starting to see some recovery today after Egypt's main stock index fell more than 10% yesterday. That following Egyptian President Morsi's big power grab, sparking fresh protests in Tahrir Square. S&P futures down 7. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
How would you like to try a sales-generating tool for your business that is so good at locating qualified leads it's been called best of the breed? If your business thrives on selling to other businesses, then get ready for a toll-free number and a free trial offer that could literally revolutionize your sales. Hoovers, a D&B company, has developed a powerful tool to connect you to qualified buyers for your product or service that is fast and easy. No more wasting time getting leads manually. No more pre-configured lists of names that don't fit your business. Hoover's advanced targeting technology helps you reach the market that will be most receptive to your product or service. For a limited time, Hoover's would like to offer their radio listeners 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial.
Just call 800-239-0011. That's a free trial and 50 free leads. Call now. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. Again, 800-239-0011.
Staples Copy and Print knows you need to promote your business.
Outdoor banners.
Detailing your one-of-a-kind product offering.
Trifold, full-color, double-sided brochures.
As you grow your business.
Business cards, postcards, car magnets.
And your customer base.
Design services, presentations, shipping.
So you go to the one place that has it all and prints it right.
Staples.
And right now, get 50% off photo cards and invitations. No coupon needed. Limited time only. Details in-store and at Staples.com. Staples. That was easy.
Nelman, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Oh, no. Are you sick too, sir?
Nelman, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from AccountTemps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes. What's that?
On second thought, Bob from AccountTemps could handle payroll, too.
Bob.
Call AccountTemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. AccountTemps, a Robert Heck.
Progressive. Favoring or advocating progress, change, improvement, or reform, as opposed to wishing to maintain things as they are. Conservative. Disposed to preserve existing conditions or institutions, or to restore traditional ones, and to limit change. First Shift with Tony Tribbiano. A rational path to follow in order to forge ahead, allowing for deliberate advancement and a way forward that benefits the entirety of society while allowing a difference of opinion. Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Now, here's Tony Tribbiano.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Monday, the 26th day of November 2012. Happy holidays to all of you. Hope that you're doing well. Yes, I'm already getting. Why aren't you saying Merry Christmas? Okay, Merry Christmas. Let's not make everything political correctness, all right? It's just, you know, there are a lot of different holidays that happen this time of year. Sometimes you liberals, I guess I'm one of you. Us liberals, I tell you. Anyway, we have a lot to get to in this hour, including our visit with the chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. So, gentlemen, if you would, an introduction, please.
The leading voice for the Democratic Party in Michigan, an architect of progressive victory.
That money could have been much better spent keeping teachers employed, keeping police and firefighters employed in this difficult economic time. What did the Republicans do? Now let's take $10 million and pay for our own private election. We decided a year ago not to do that to the taxpayers of Michigan. If the parties want to do this kind of process, they should pay for it themselves, and that's exactly what we're doing.
It's time for Monday Mornings with Chairman Mark Brewer.
And we welcome back after the Thanksgiving Day holiday the chairman himself, Mark Brewer. Mark, it's a pleasure to have you back. Hope you at least got one day to yourself, sir.
I did have a chance to spend some time with my parents, Tony. Thank you very much.
Well, I know how hard you're working, and people would like to think, well, the election's over. The chairman's got some time to catch his breath. Unfortunately, Mark, anything but that is true. We're going to get into some especially lame duck issues that we're dealing with here in the state of Michigan. But before we get into that, let's start off with a positive. Congressman Dave Kirsten, I like the way that sounds, Mr. Chairman, keeping pretty busy in his short stint as the 11th Congressional District Member of Congress.
Yeah, Dave Kirsten's off to a great start, Tony. I spoke to his chief of staff last week just to check in. We've got a district office up and running. They had an open house last week. Fully staffed and available. They have all the constituents. I'm going to put a full week or more in Washington. He's back from today for the late lunch session. So he's doing a terrific job representing the constituents. And it's very important to lay that session Congress and face all these issues.
Yeah, Mark, let me Let me just interrupt you very quickly. We have a very bad connection, so I'm going to ask the guys to put you on hold, and let's see if we can get a better connection with you as we can barely understand what you're saying. So, guys, put them on hold, and let's reconnect, all right? Let's do that. In the meantime, we'll get Mark Brewer back with us in just a second. For those of you that are not aware, Dave Kirsten ran in the special election to complete Thaddeus McCotter's term as a member of Congress in the 11th Congressional District. Since he had resigned, they have been without representation. Dave Kirsten is taking this very, very seriously. Although he only has 6 weeks in which to sit in that chair, he is going to make the most and the best of those 6 weeks, and certainly he is doing that. He did send out a press release last week that he was doing office hours in district, that the district business was up and running, and that if you needed him for anything, he was there to move any kind of requests along. Because, again, the 11th has been without representation now since Thaddeus McCotter disgraced himself through his staff with the whole petition signing scandal, which is, by the way, not over with. It is not over with. So we will wait and see how that concludes. But we have to certainly give Dave Kirsten a big pat on the back and congratulate him for the fine work that he is doing representing the 11th Congressional District. And he is doing a fabulous job of representing the 11th Congressional District. I've got to imagine that that is a difficult place to be. Knowing you're only going to be there a short period of time, and yet he is taking it very seriously, as we would expect him to. And I believe that in that short 6 weeks, he will definitely make a lasting impression on the 11th. Unfortunately, he has to turn that seat over to crazy Carrie Bentivoglio come the first of the year, whether he likes it or not. And I'm going to suggest he's probably not going to like it. But that's okay. We'll take the time that we have with Dave now and make the very best of it. If you get a chance and the next time he has office hours, I will make sure that I let you know if I get advance notice, if you want to go over and say hello, or if you've got in the 11th Congressional District, or if you've got a specific issue you want to deal with, well, you may want to do that. We have Mark Brewer back now, so let's welcome him back to the program. I'm sure we've got a better connection now, Mark.
Yeah, sorry about the technical problems, Tony.
That's okay. That's okay. Gave me a chance to talk about my buddy Dave Kirsten a little bit longer. Let's move on, though, Mark, and talk a little bit about the Michigan Republican Party. They may have some changes coming up in leadership. You know, Mark, there was a time Republicans never fought in public. We really didn't know what was happening until a day or so before the Republican convention. But there are a lot of Republicans very unhappy with the current chairman, Bobby Shostak.
Yeah, we are seeing a lot of fighting at the national level, Tony, but also here in Michigan. There's already one challenger announced against Bobby Shostak from West Michigan. And we're seeing a lot of fighting at the local level as well. Within the last couple of weeks, the Tea Party faction in Macomb County was tossed out of the leadership, and there could well be other changes as well. So there's a lot of internal strife and finger-pointing, scapegoating going on over the election results just a few weeks ago.
Well, you know, what I find interesting about that, and I realize that, you know, there are certain things you've got to, you know, we're going to win the state for Romney, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. But, you know, there's much more to this than meets the eye. You know, the Shostak family has been shown great favor by the very conservative Michigan State Supreme Court in a couple cases that were very specific just to them. I would think as we take a look at what the Shostak family is dealing with, and more specifically, Bobby, who refuses to continues to refuse to debate you in any way, shape, or form in public, that they do need. I think that they do need some fresh faces. Mark, the question I have to ask is, will it be a Tea Party candidate or a more mainstream Republican candidate, in your opinion?
I would expect that if they replace Bobby Shostak, it'll be with somebody from the Tea Party. He has spent the last couple of years really pandering to the Tea Party, Tony, and if you listen to him, he will defend the Tea Party. He's taken money from Manny Maroon and defends that relationship, and you notice he's been absolutely silent on the question of the bridge, refusing to support his own Republican governor. But despite all of that pandering to the right wing of the Republican Party, he still finds himself under attack. So if he is replaced, I think it will be a Tea Party chairperson.
Yeah, but we also see, Mark, the Tea Party is losing some of the favor that it once had already, I'm happy to say. Certainly we could look at the recall of Janice Daniels, who was widely supported by the Tea Party, not just statewide but nationally. She was soundly defeated in her defense of the recall, you know, and there are other indications that the Tea Party is weakening here in the state of Michigan and nationally as well.
I think that's right, Tony. They lost a number of their members nationally. Alan West lost, Joe Walsh lost, Michelle Bachman barely won. And what you see was they were able to hang on in gerrymandered districts like we have with Justin Amash in West Michigan or Dan Benischek up in northern Michigan here. But when they faced truly competitive races, they lost. They are extremely unpopular, that the Tea Party, that is, with the public. But they are pushing back inside the Republican Party and saying, no, no, no. If Mitt Romney had been a true Tea Partier, he would have won. That is what they're saying in the wake of that disastrous election just 3 weeks ago.
Well, Mark, we know, and we talked about this a little earlier this morning, that at least on the national level, we're not seeing it necessarily at the state level, but at the national level, Republicans are beginning to change their tune. All of a sudden, they're in favor of a proactive immigration reform. All of a sudden, they're saying that Grover Norquist may have to find in new allies as they begin to understand the reality of our budget challenges and that compromise must be on the table. So that dialogue is beginning to change nationally, but I'm not seeing the same conversation statewide.
No, you're not, Tony. And all that rhetoric and that dialogue is encouraging. We'll see what the votes are in the next few weeks in the lame duck Congress, whether they match that rhetoric with their votes. But you're absolutely right. Here in Michigan, they still believe that theirs is the right path, and there's some very dangerous legislation that the Tea Party and the Republicans generally are pushing in lame duck to advance their extreme ideology and ignore what happened in the election.
Well, it seems to be it seems to me that maybe news doesn't travel as fast and some parts of the country as in others. We do know that the November 6th election results, Mark, showed that certainly more Democrats voted than Republicans. Even here in the state of Michigan, at a congressional level, more Democrats got votes than Republicans. Gerrymandering, as you pointed out last Monday, was the key to Republican victories here in the state of Michigan. That doesn't mean that we've not made progress, and I would think at some level here, as the conversation gets turned up a little louder on compromise, that perhaps Michigan GOP better open up their ears and understand that if they want to stay relevant, they're going to have to change.
I think that's absolutely right, Tony. I mean, we would have taken control of the House, but for gerrymandering. We'd have won at least one congressional seat, if not two or more, except for the gerrymandering. Look, we won big at the top of the ticket. Now, Stabenow, 21 points. Barack Obama, almost 10 points. We went big at the bottom of the ticket in those statewide education board races. Why didn't we do better in the middle? Because of gerrymandering. That's the only thing that's keeping the Republicans in power in this state.
All right. Mark, hold that thought. We're going to come back. Lame duck on our agenda. And we're also going to talk about a fund that Governor Snyder has. This is the relentlessly positive attitude guy who is being less than relentlessly transparent. We'll get to all that and more when First Shift continues. Stay tuned.
First First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Out of all the nastiness I've seen in the day, you were one of the few that's very honest, that's very sincere, and very true to heart. People like you, Carl Levin, and every staff and all are good for this state.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your rush hour traffic, and 94 is a spot that's having lots of problems. We've cleared that one accident on 94 westbound before Little Mac, but traffic is still heavy from 21 Mile. Another accident on 94 westbound at Harper Avenue, that's blocking your left shoulder. And we got heavy stop-and-go traffic on 94 westbound between Michigan Avenue and US 23. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy and 38. Tonight, a low of 23. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 35. And it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have that peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
We want to hear from you. Interact with First Shift. Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page. Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now. 1-888-552-3595. Now, back to the show and Tony.
22 minutes after 8 o'clock. Welcome back to this Monday morning program here on First Shift. I'm Tony Trupiano. My guest this morning, as he is every morning at this time, Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. Mark, certainly we need to take some time to talk about this fund that Governor Rick Snyder has that is causing some grave concern. Transparency. This is a governor that ran on transparency, ran on accountability. Yet, as the TV reporters have been following around him around and asking questions, he is being quite quiet. In fact, if he's going to be relentlessly positive, shouldn't he start with a little relentless transparency, Mark?
Absolutely, Tony, and you're right. He has claimed that transparency and accountability will be the hallmark of his administration, but he's got this million-dollar-plus slush fund, basically, that he can tap to for whatever he wants, and he refuses to disclose the donors. You can think for yourself, conclude for yourself what that means. I suspect that there are a lot of donors to that fund who have benefited from the policies that Snyder and the Republicans have pushed, and they don't want that to become public. So we really do need to keep pushing on this and force the governor to disclose the donors to this secret slush fund so we can see what's really going on.
Yeah, well, I believe the fund is called the One Tough Nerd Fund, and I would suggest that at this point we should probably rename it to the One Stupid Nerd Fund, because he's opening himself up for potential litigation, Mark, if he's not careful.
I think that's right, Tony. I mean, you know, look, we've got the corrupt Speaker of the House who is still under investigation by a grand jury. We're still seeing the McConnell scandal play out, the petition fraud there. And now we've got a governor who is taking money secretly from wealthy donors all around the state, putting it to his own private use without disclosing. That's a recipe for corruption, and the people deserve to know who's giving money to this fund and why.
Well, Mark, and as you know, the governor responded to this to the reporters, mostly local Detroit reporters, but responded that they've done nothing illegal. And when somebody continues to tell you that, and that doesn't actually answer the question but begs another one, well, I mean, he's kind of asking the microscope, isn't he?
Yeah, I think it was about 40 years ago, Tony, my bank, that Richard Nixon said, "I am not a crook."
Hmm.
And we all know how that ended. So these lions and vultures said the same thing. He said it last summer. "I didn't do anything wrong. I broke the law." Come to find out, in fact, it looks like he did. The best way for the governor to demonstrate, to prove that he has not broken the law, show us who the donors are and let people reach their own conclusions.
Well, you're right, and I don't think this is something that's going to go away very, very quickly. A couple more issues that we're going to try to get as much as we can before we have to let you go today. And certainly, as I mentioned, Mark, the lame duck session is back tomorrow at the state level. Will right to work legislation be proposed? We still don't have 100% confirmation, but we know the conversation is alive and well.
Oh, yeah, we do. And these lame duck sessions are always very dangerous, Tony. You've got a lot of legislators who are no longer accountable. They're either term limited. Some of them were defeated just a few weeks ago. They're no longer accountable except to these special interests in Lansing who are pushing things like right to work, which, as we all know, would be a disaster for Michigan. It won't create jobs. The statistics show over and over again that in states with right to work laws, workers make less. They have fewer benefits if they have benefits at all. Their pensions are worse, if they have pensions at all. So this is about punitive action. It's about retaliation. It's about politics as usual. And, you know, we're working very hard with our friends in the labor movement to try to be sure that people stay focused on creating jobs in Michigan and not engaging in these political games like enacting a right to work law.
You know, and Margaret, it seems to me, you know, and let's talk a little bit more specifically. Let's talk about the states that have right to work. Are they doing well? I mean, are we just screaming because we're pro-union, or is there reason to believe that right to work just doesn't work?
Oh, no, you can look at state after state, Tony. You know, South Carolina, Mississippi, and Arkansas, where we see that workers have lower wages compared to states where the union movement is strong. In Oklahoma, which I think was the last state before Indiana to adopt the right to work, they said, "Oh, we're going to attract jobs and people will flock here." Well, actually, jobs are down 25% in Oklahoma in the last 10 years, and the number of companies moving there have dropped by a third. Tony, so you hear all these promises that it's going to create jobs, it's going to be good for the business climate, but if you look at the states where this has been in place, those promises have not been kept. It's been a disaster for the economy. And
it's been
bad for the workers.
You know, it's interesting as we take a look at right to work. I think it was in Oklahoma where they sold it, Mark, by saying, and this was a long time ago. They sold it by saying that it would create more jobs and it would attract more businesses. And in fact, they have had a 25% drop in jobs and a 15% drop in the number of new businesses coming to Oklahoma. If right to work is working so well, who's it working well for?
Well, that's exactly right, Tony. It was such a panacea, such a, you know, silver bullet to solve all these problems. You would think states like Mississippi and Idaho and Oklahoma would be thriving. But in fact, they're not. Some of those states are actually suffering worse than Michigan at this point in terms of the national economy. And certainly, their workers and working families are all worse off, whether you look at wages, pensions, benefits, the quality of life in those states. It's not anywhere near comparable to what we enjoy here in Michigan.
Well, no question, and it's obviously a topic that we're going to stay on top of here on First Shift. Mark, we know the governor has once again attacking public education and public school teachers here in the state of Michigan with a quote-unquote reform of education here statewide. I don't know what he thinks he's trying to get away with. But when we talk again about relentless positive action, to continuing to hit the morale of the finest public school teachers in the country by continuing to propose legislation that does nothing but take their power away from them doesn't seem very positive to me.
No, not at all, Tony. And he's working with this guy, Richard McClellan, who is advisor to Engler, who seems to have made it his lifetime goal to really destroy public education in Michigan. He was behind the voucher system, which was defeated at the polls about 12 years ago now, I think. He's behind these for-profit cyber schools and charter schools. And now his education finance plan would essentially voucherize the entire system here in Michigan, Tony, privatize our school system and destroy public education as we know it. As long as part of this long-term goal by McClellan and his right-wing allies to do exactly that. So, again, this is something we got to watch out for and fight very hard, not just in lame duck, but I expect that this attack will continue after lame duck into next year. We've got to remain constantly vigilant against these kind of attacks on public education.
No question. Mark, we're just out of time for today, so we'll have to carry over some of this stuff till next week. In the meantime, happy holidays to you. Thank you for being with us this morning, and we'll look forward to visiting you next Monday.
Thank you, Tony. Talk to you next week.
As always, my pleasure. Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. Of course, you're going to find them online at MichiganDems.com. Chris Savage with Eclectablog when First Shift continues. Don't you go anywhere. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your rush hour traffic, and 94 is the spot that's having lots of problems. We've cleared that one accident on 94 westbound before Little Mac, but traffic is still heavy from 21 Mile. Another accident on 94 westbound at Harper Avenue, that's blocking your left shoulder. And we got heavy stop-and-go traffic on 94 westbound between Michigan Avenue and US 23. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Team 10 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy and 38. Tonight, a low of 23. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 35. And it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Let me turn my attention now to Special Assistant to President Al Garrett at AFSCME Council 25, Ned McNeil.
We specifically signed this agreement on February the 1st of this year, and we ratified this agreement in March. They could have put this agreement in place that the unions had did, which would have annually saved the city $180.2 million. You wouldn't be in this game that they're playing. That they're just playing this game with people's lives and with the citizens of the city of Detroit.
On 1310 WDTW.
The sky is falling. The end times are upon us. It's all over for America.
and it's all because of you. You, the execrable voters. This is the wretched wail of a few corporate chieftains who claim to be somewhere between flummoxed and furious that Barack Obama is back in the White House. With his diabolical Obamacare and tax-the-rich attacks on us wealthy job creators, they moan, this president is out to destroy American business. There's a tsunami coming, cried one, so we must save ourselves. How do these trembling titans of free enterprise intend to do that? By firing employees, thus sending a message to workers that voting for Democrats is bad for their health. Elections have consequences, exclaimed a Las Vegas boss after offing 22 workers the day after Obama was reelected. Echoing this self-serving political ethic, a Georgia executive told C-SPAN that his fear of Obamacare made him fire enough workers to exempt his business from providing health care. I tried to make sure that the people I had to lay off voted for Obama, he noted, spewing spite. Then there's Papa John's, the billion-dollar-a-year fast food chain. John Schnatter, the present papa of Papa John's, had warned this summer that he'd jack up the consumer price of the chain's pizza if Obama won, because he was not going to eat the cost of assuring health coverage for employees. Post-election, however, Schnatter has decided not to slap his customers, but to slap Papa John's workers instead, by cutting their hours to part-time so he doesn't have to pay for their coverage. That's what you do, Schnatter snapped. You pass on costs. This is Jim Hightower saying, that's what you do, and what an exemplary way for the millionaire boss to boost productivity, loyalty, and morale of those who do the actual work that make customers want to buy Papa John's pizza, or not.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Got something to tell Tony? We want to hear from you. Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595. Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, back to the show and Tony.
35 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Monday morning. Happy holidays and a Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. Now that we have Thanksgiving Day behind us, well, the long or maybe not so long trek to Christmas is just upon us. And listen, lots of stuff to talk about. There's no lack of interesting things. And even when we get through this lame duck session, both at the federal level and the state level, there will be plenty to get to, I assure you. Well, one of the things that we're going to get to now is a question that I had asked last week. What happens to Organizing for America now that the Obama campaign has won its final election? Well, let's get an intro and let's have that discussion.
Leading the charge for online truth and a vision that transcends the minutia and delivers information that impacts us all.
There's plenty of folks out there that feel pretty strongly about this. Even though labor may not be formally involved, you know, I guarantee there's going to be a lot of folks out there that are disgusted with what's been going on with the Snyder administration.
Welcome back to First Shift, this week's blog roll.
The next hard part starts. We have to get people to vote for this repeal, and I guarantee there'll be money flooding into not a state to fight against it.
From Neglect to Blog, Chris Savage.
And we welcome back, Chris Savage, to First Shift. And Chris, first of all, let me wish you a belated Thanksgiving Day holiday. Hope you had a good one.
We really did. We're actually still celebrating it. We're down in St. Louis, Missouri with my wife's family and spent several days just cooking and drinking and going out and playing disc golf. It was beautiful weather down here, so we've had a great weekend. It's been great.
Well, good, and I'm happy to have you with us this morning. You know, I had actually mentioned on the show last week, what happens to what was once Obama for America that turned into Organizing for America now that the Obama campaign, well, is no longer needed, or is it?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that would be the natural thing to think is that they don't need it. But one thing that Obama does really well is to train organizers, and they spent the last 4 years doing that. They did it very well. There's now tens of thousands of people across the country that have, you know, gotten training and then a taste of success through, you know, community organizing and organizing at their local level. And, you know, that alone is a legacy they can leave behind. But as he did in 2009, Barack Obama has every intention of, you know, having that trained core of people across the country help him accomplish what he promised to do during the election. So they're, you know, sort of in the process of making that happen. In 2009, it took them quite a while. It was probably the summer of 2009 before they really got OFA 2.0 underway and off the ground. But it seems like this time they're going to be a little bit more efficient at it. And they are in the process right now of gathering people's opinions about where they think OFA should go. And if you go to the piece on my blog about this, there's a link to the survey that you can take. But they've already started a new website called theaction.org. And right now they're encouraging people to work to help end the Bush tax cuts for the richest 2% of America so that we can get our budget back under control. So that's sort of their first out-of-the-chute activity that they're going to get people involved with. And I encourage people to go to that site, get signed up for their mailing list, and download the little kit that they've got that gives you all sorts of graphics and stuff that you can use for blog posts and Facebook pages and things like that. And then, you know, they're rolling out some, you know, ways that people can get involved and reach out to their lawmakers and you know, encourage them to vote to repeal these Bush tax cuts.
Yeah, in fact, Chris, you also have a video on the eclectablog.com website that features Jim Messina with Organizing for America. Let's listen to a little bit of what Jim Messina had to say about the future of OFA.
People want to be involved in supporting the president's agenda in the next 4 years. How that looks is a discussion we need to have with our grassroots. You know, you can't run two presidential campaigns from the grassroots and then say, now we're going to do it from D.C. That's not how this is going to work. What's going to happen, and the president's been very direct with me about this, is our people are going to, you know, get to make some decisions. And so we're going to go through a process like we did after the OA campaign, where we sit down with them. And, you know, part of the smartest thing we did in the 2012 campaign was go and have a series of town halls online with our supporters as we built this 18 months ago to say, what kind of campaign do you want to run? That's why we ended up doing some things that at the time I didn't want to do, like get involved in local elections and recall elections in Wisconsin, because our people wanted to. It ended up being some of the best things we did. So we're going to go learn from our folks.
And what are the mechanics of that? So this was an email yesterday, I think it was, yeah, or two nights ago from you. It maybe should have come from George Clooney. But asking people, and the very interesting phrase in there was it talked about the Obama organization and how many hours per week I might volunteer for the Obama organization in my neighborhood. I said that I gave it the office. But what is the Obama organization now? Will this be housed in the DNC, or will there be something in Chicago? Or
we don't know. That's part of the discussion we want to have with people, what makes sense. The thing I think people have said to me and since the election is, you know, and the president talked about this on election night, it's going to take all of us, Republicans, Democrats, whether you voted for him or if you didn't, to come together to tackle the challenges of this country. And I think the one thing is people just spent 5 years winning two presidential elections together. They're now not going to walk away and not help him, you know, become the change that they want to see.
So is it possible that an Obama organization, Obama for America, will remain in Chicago as an entity?
I think anything's possible. I think what's true is just from FEC law, the campaign needs to shut down. And you know, we cannot expend funds for non-presidential activities, so we got to figure out what we do next. And that's the conversation we're having with our supporters now.
But there's an organization
that's good, guys. We can end it there. So, Chris Savage, what I'm really hearing is this is going to be a ground game. It's going to be from the ground up, not from the top down.
Yeah, you know what occurs to me as I listen to that is, you know, I remember Mitt Romney criticizing Barack Obama for not being able to, you know, affect change from the White House, and he was very critical of, you know, the president, you know, sort of acting like he's powerless or something. But what I hear when I hear Messina talking there, and I hear what Barack Obama said about things, is that, you know, we've got people, you know, the country needs to come together to work for the things that they believe in, and we've given them the tools and the skills now to do that. And what other president have you ever heard has said that? You know, who else do you know of as a politician, you know, who has really engaged people at the ground level? And when you think of the people that have done that, it's people like Paul Wellstone, it's people like Howard Dean, you know, people like that who have really engaged people and said, look, you can do this, you can be powerful, you can, you know, you can collectively work together to achieve the goals that you want. So we've got a president now that's doing that, and I just think that's an amazing thing. And we were effective, you know, even in the first term when OFA was still – the stimulus gets passed and we got the, you know, don't ask, don't tell repeal, then we did get health care insurance reform, you know, passed. So, you know, they've already been a stuff. Start training people to do and giving them a taste of success with that stuff that really gets infectious and makes you want to go work harder. That's a really cool thing.
Well, and you'd like to think that that's where this is headed. You know, what I really liked about what Jim Messina was saying, and he said it repeatedly, is we don't know yet. This is a conversation that has to be had with people on the ground. You know, we have to decide this together. That's refreshing.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, I'm really engaged and excited by this. And even if, you know, they don't particularly get involved at the local levels with specific local issues, they've got groups of people out there now that have been trained in community organizing skills that can do that themselves now. But they've empowered people to make change for themselves. And I just think that's really, really interesting. It'll be interesting to see how it pans out. One of the things that I've been talking about and talk a little bit about in that piece is that at least in Washington County, where I'm at, we had as many as a dozen local staff people in 2000 for the 2008 election. In 2012, we only had two people, and they accomplished the same amount of organizing, but they could do it because they now have a bunch of trained, you know, folks at the grassroots level that can do a lot of the same work that normally staff people would do. And now that the election is over, instead of the sort of diaspora of all these paid staff people that OFA hired that occurred in 2009 or late 2008, most of the people that I worked with in our OF local OFA group are still here. You know, they're my friends. We're involved in the local Democratic Party. We're involved in various issues around the county. So that's, you know, so it's just a powerful legacy that Obama's leaving behind. And, you know, I'm thrilled by the whole thing. I really am.
Is this something, and let's keep it local now for a moment. You're very involved in the Ann Arbor area. Would you like to see the group that you were connected to the last 5 years stay together?
We will, I can guarantee you. I mean, a lot of those people are already involved in the local Democratic Party. We've got a group to, at the local level that is working towards the repeal of Citizens United and passing a constitutional amendment to take money out of politics and saying that corporations aren't people and that money is not speech. I mean, this is already happening, Tony. We're already in different forms working together on other issues. So, you know, I have no doubt at all that the group that I was part of will stay together in some fashion or another. I'll be working with these people on issues across the county for the next decade, I can guarantee it.
Well, you know, I find it interesting and very empowering at the same time. When we can find a conduit, you know, you mentioned Howard Dean. It was Dean for America, then Democracy for America. Democracy yes. for America has stayed relevant since
Absolutely.
That Dean campaign. And that says something about the passion Americans, and more specifically, Democrats have for their communities.
Absolutely right. And, you know, a lot of times it's just a matter of letting people know that they have power, you know, and that, you know, with the proper training, they can use that power to accomplish the good things that they want to accomplish. And DFA is a great example of that. I have a lot of friends in DFA, and they're an amazing, amazing group. So I see OFA as being sort of a parallel thing for that. You know, and then, you know, what they've also said in the meantime, that the next person that runs for president for the Democratic Party is going to have to sort of excite their own base of people, and that's true. They will have to bring in their own, you know, their own organizing style and stuff. But what they will get to deal with is a group of people who are already trained in a lot of the skills, and that's going to make a difference in 2016.
Hey, Chris, stay with us. We've got to take a quick break. Let's get some more on the other side. Chris Savage with eclectablog.com is my guest. This is our blog roll segment for this Monday. We do it every Monday at this time. A quick break here, a Merry Christmas, and a Happy Holidays to all of you. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Tonight, more than 200 years after a former colony won the right to determine its own destiny, the task of perfecting our union moves forward.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Credit card overworked? Mine too.
That's why I'm entering the holiday shopping giveaway at SweetJack.com. If you win, SweetJack will overnight a Visa gift card loaded with $5,000 to pay for your holiday shopping. What gift would you buy yourself? Enter the holiday shopping giveaway now at SweetJack.com to get your gifts on Jack.
No purchase necessary.
First ship with Tony Tribbiano.
I believe we can keep the promise of our founding. The idea that if you're willing to work hard, it doesn't matter who you are, or where you come from, or what you look like, or where you love. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white or Hispanic or Asian or Native American or young or old or rich or poor, able, disabled, gay or straight. You can make it here in America if you're willing to try.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Tribbiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Tribbiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before 9 o'clock on this Monday program. My guest is Chris Savage. He, of course, is the mastermind, as Joe says, behind eclectablog.com. And, of course, a good friend of this host and this program. He is with us every other week at this time, and we appreciate that. Chris, we're going to go to the phones and welcome Charles in Detroit to First Shift. Charles, Merry Christmas to you. What's on your mind this morning?
Good morning. I wanted to thank Eclectablog for so many fine articles, you know, over this year, and, you know, such a great leadership with respect to the election. And also, I've, you know, it's very good that we're starting right after the election to look at the next election. That's the lesson from 2010 when we hesitated and the Tea Party came out with all that crazy stuff and we didn't respond because it sounded so crazy. But, you know, we need to start preparing for 2014 right now. And what Eclectablog is talking about is, I think, related to that continuing, you know, the organizing for America. So I'm so happy that they're doing that. We need to have people keeping track of all the craziness coming out of Fox News and Rush Limbaugh and all these nutty anti-American Tea Party people so that we right away counter them, you know, and get out counters to their lies, you know, starting right now and not waiting. So thank you so much for all your work, Chris Savage. Well,
Charles, thank you very much. I really do appreciate that. And you nailed it right there because, you know, we can't allow that to happen in 2014, what happened in 2010. And I do think that OFA is very aware of that. You know, we didn't just get our clocks cleaned in Michigan. We got our clocks cleaned across the country in 2010. And we have got to use this core of volunteers and organizers to make sure that doesn't ever happen again because, you know, one of the things that the Democrats do really well is presidential elections. What we don't do so well sometimes is the midterms, and they can make such a big difference. In 2010, we got really kneecapped because of the census, being a census year with the redistricting. So we've got a lot of ground to make up, and, you know, starting right right now is exactly what we intend to do. You know, my blogging partner, LOLGOP, and I were having dinner with their wives a few nights ago, and we talked about, you know, who's the governor going to be? You know, who's our governor candidate going to be? Because we want to start working right now to make sure that the message gets out for whoever the Democrats choose to be their candidate, because, you know, we got to get our state back in order. Thank you again, and have a great holiday. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, very nice call, Charles. Chris, let me ask you, what responsibility does Electablog, which really is, I mean, First Shift is my horn. Electablog is yours. What responsibility do you have or are you taking with regard to keeping people active and organized and focused on the future?
There's really two things that I try to do. And the primary thing is that I want to help people be able to talk about the issues in a knowledgeable way, in a way that helps people understand it from a perspective, a progressive perspective that they might not get otherwise. So, you know, one of the things that we do, I think, pretty well is to take complicated issues and bring them down to a level that people can understand them, and then give them facts that they can use when they're having arguments or debates or conversations with other people. And then the other thing is just to make sure that they're aware of all the issues that are going on and inform them about how they can get involved in those issues, because it's easy to feel powerless, but when you start bringing things down to a level where people can get involved locally, then all of a sudden it doesn't seem quite so intimidating, and you realize that there are other people that you can work with. So those two pieces for me are the biggest pieces in terms of, you know, what I feel is my responsibility as a, you know, as a progressive blogger in Michigan.
Well, as the potential of Electablog.com has grown, and as you have gotten much more national attention, including from who's becoming a pal of yours, Rachel Maddow, I think it's wonderful that you've built a relationship with the national media that way. I mean, do you feel a sense of responsibility that you didn't quite realize when you started a collective blog, or is this where you wanted it to go?
You absolutely bet. I always hoped I'd be in this place, but, you know, it's very gratifying to be here, and I do feel a responsibility. I feel a responsibility to make sure that we're putting out quality stuff and that we're hitting all the main issues and stuff. I got an email yesterday saying, you know, you need to write about what's happening to our school systems in Michigan, and I very much plan to do that. But, you know, people are expecting that now, and so I can't let my readers down, and I can't let myself down. And, you know, that's what's going to make sure that we keep, you know, expanding our readership, and that, you know, that the issues that are happening here in Michigan get national attention, because what's happening in Michigan in so many ways is, it's a bellwether. I mean, this whole thing about the fetal personhood bill that's coming out, they've tried to do that in places like, you know, Florida, you know, in Mississippi, and it didn't work down there. And to think that Michigan could be the first state to pass some, you know, such archaic type legislation, just, it's bewildering to me. So, you know, we got to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Well, it is a daunting task, no question. And I want to just kind of go back to Charles' call for just a moment and, you know, and talk about one of the things that I do, as you know, Chris, I do a lot of public speaking. And one of the things that I talked about and continue to talk about is the responsibility we have to get to work after November 6th. And we do. We can't pretend that issues are going to take care of themselves. You know, I've said this publicly many times. I've said it on the show. One of the things I hate about November elections is it's right on top of the holidays. It gives people a natural break to walk away.
Right.
It takes their focus. I'm concerned about that, Chris.
And you should be, because we've got the lame duck session coming up this week, and, you know, there are things that we need to be doing to do it. And, you know, it's tough. And, you know, I do have a full-time job, so it's very challenging for me as a blogger to continue to, you know, stay on top of everything, on top of all the other stuff that's going on in my life. But, you know, we've got to let people know that they do have power. We've got to connect them to the places that can give them, you know, more chance to be successful and to work with other people and stuff like that. So I, you know, that's why I'm always, you know, sounding the clarion call for various groups that are doing stuff, whether it's Planned Parenthood or the unions or whatever it is, whoever's running the latest, you know, effort to make positive change, you know, and connecting people with those things. So we'll keep doing that.
Well, and it's important. And I tell this, I say this to people all the time. Pick, you know, if you don't have a lot of time, pick an issue, just one. And,
right.
and you know, if you can give it, just be honest. If you can give an hour, give an hour. If you can give five, give five. Just be honest about it. And that way, everybody in your circle of influence knows what to expect from you. You don't disappoint them. You don't disappoint yourself. And you continue to do something relevant. And that's all we're asking for right now.
That's right. And pick something that really means something to you, because it's so much less like work when you do that. If you pick something that's really like meaningful to your heart, it doesn't seem like work when you're out doing it. It seems like fun, and it seems like, exciting and energizing. So, it doesn't become a burden when you're doing something that you really feel passionate about.
No, there's no question that's true. Well, we're getting, this is really nothing but good news today as we have walked through your latest blog post, and glad that you're with family and friends and enjoying yourself a bit. But of course, yes, we're going to, like Charles said, we're going to continue to look to you, Chris, for a little sanity and a little knowledge. And fortunately, you give us both. Brother, thank you so much. We definitely need to get together during this Christmas holiday and bend our elbows.
I'm looking forward to that. Absolutely right.
Thank you for your time today. Chris Savage with eclectablog.com in this week's Blog Rolls segment. Stay where you're at. We've got another great hour of radio coming up after the top of the hour break. We're going to talk about your health, and we're going to talk about, again, the message through music. This is First Shift. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Qdoba Mexican Grill.
We picked up some more accidents on your rush hour commute. Let's head over to 696 westbound at the Lodge Northwestern Losser exit. Accident has your right shoulder blocked. Your left shoulder is blocked by an accident on 94 westbound at Harper Avenue. Wardenville Road southbound at Oak Hill Road, that's blocked due to an accident, and traffic is using the northbound lanes to pass. And don't forget about that broken water main. Use caution on Middlebelt Road north of 94. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Need plans for lunch? Stop into Qdoba and get your meal queso-fied. For a limited time, Qdoba is offering their one-of-a-kind three-cheese queso on any burrito absolutely free. Just ask to have your burrito queso-fied, and you'll see why bacon's got nothing on queso.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy and 38. Tonight, a low of 23. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 35.